Attention students, the Jabroni University Network is now in session. Please make your way to class.
Oh yeah, you're listening to the Draft Podcast. Let's start the show.
Shout out to Vanna White, Pat Sajak.
Are we going to rap? What's happening?
Yeah, we'll rap.
Okay.
This Justin, here comes the poison of the pod. That's why he's CEO. Anyway, take your shot. He's a mighty duck like Charlie Conway, the front man of Nerdicide. He's the reason they invented spermicide. You know I'm just playing in his 40s, but he's James Dean slaying. Some say the dude's a looker, a classic, making shots like Devin Booker. He likes it underground, shouts to Satan. He's coming back whether you like it or not, DeAndre Ayton. But shit, back to the matter at hand. What the hell makes a good frontman? Well, you gotta be the face of the band. Ain't no going back, you are the brand. The voice to get people invested. The stage presence of a dude who could get arrested. Charisma oozing from them tight-ass pants. You got to move around, and I don't mean dance. Just make me fucking believe. Got to be a confident fuck and a little unique. Maybe have some sexual magnetism and express a little bit of vandalism. Get off stage and take marker to breast. If you're looking for a front man, well, shit, these are the best.
Hell yes.
All right. Suns references.
Hey.
That was beautiful.
Satan and Devin Booker.
Yeah.
If you would have squeezed in a Cyclops reference in there, you would have had the trifecta right there.
I had it in there, but it broke it out, you know.
Has your boy Kevin Durant started playing yet?
Tomorrow, probably.
Tomorrow's his first game.
A light game too with Charlotte. So
okay.
Fuck you.
George's a big CLT fan. Yeah.
Why? You hate yourself?
Love CLT.
Yeah,
That team's owned by the GOAT, man. You know?
Yeah, that team is the team of all old men in big weird pants. I'm a Suns fan, so I've hated myself forever, so it's fine.
Hey, you got a chance to not hate yourself this year.
I feel like I've had a couple chances to not hate myself, spiraled down worse and worse because it's almost worse to be so close and then not have it. It's like better to just be like not good.
Mm-hmm.
To just like get to the top of the hill and someone just like kicks you right in the fucking face and you just go all the way back down to like Twitter and everyone's just like, "Oh, you fucking Suns suck."
And then you're like, "You paid for Twitter."
Hey, if you guys can't win with Devin Booker, CP3, and Kevin Durant, then like I don't know what the hell you guys are doing.
I just feel like the NBA is just like, there's just so many good teams. Everybody's fucking good.
That's true.
Yeah. The Magic are good and they're the fifth worst. Like they're kind of good and they're the fifth worst team in the NBA.
It used to be like,
yeah,
oh, we're playing that team. I don't have to watch the game. It's going to be a wash.
Right.
They'll play like a fucking, like you'll play Houston and those guys, their record is ass, but they will cook you if you slack. Like, so it's like, yeah. There's no like night off games, I feel like, for teams anymore. And it's just like,
yeah, I think it's the deepest it's ever fucking been. Like,
oh, yeah.
Although
it's
all
good, but also
get upset about it. But that's just the truth. Like, Jordan had, I love Jordan, but he had fucking 10 to 12 games where he could just like walk on the court, not do shit, and they win by 30. You know, can't do that.
Yeah. Exactly. And then, especially like in the West right now, it's just like, so it's, I don't even like the standings are not even worth looking at right now because it's like everyone's like a half game away from each other. Like seven,
two bad teams. That's it.
And I just like, I hate it. I fucking hate it. Yeah. And I know like the Suns would probably, if we, you know, if we didn't have that Booker injury, we would be in the top three.
Yeah, no doubt.
But Booker's back now though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he's still getting his legs after All-Star.
I really like this basketball talk. You know, I need more of this, man, in my life.
Yeah, this is like, yeah, this is what like happens with and I'll do this all the time to Courtney.
Courtney's already turned it off.
Like a basketball talk up front.
I thought I was getting rock and roll.
Yeah, I'll have everyone, whoever's on Nerd Side, then I'll just start talking about like the Suns, and he just like glazes over and just like
Drew's face right now.
Yeah.
Exactly. But like he could do the same thing to me, but he never does, which is he could just start talking about hockey, and I would just like my brain would just exit for like the whole time.
Yeah, but we can say the last names of the players we like.
That's true.
Yeah,
and they're all not just like 40-year-old divorced dads with no teeth.
Yep,
they're actually cool. The NBA is cool,
right?
That's right.
Yeah, what else is cool? Fucking frontmen. Which, by the way, we're saying front men, but is this front people?
No, it's men. We'll do a women one.
Okay, we'll later. Do a front women one later.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, don't worry. We won't leave the ladies out.
All right. You'll
do them second because.
Yeah. Well, they get paid less.
We'll do them after another 6 years.
Oh man.
I almost had a gal in mind, but I changed my mind because it's just like I know who I am. I'm not gonna fake it.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I did have old Debbie Harry, you know, for the looks.
Debbie's a good one. I had fucking Joan Jett, I thought.
Yeah.
There's some bangers.
I had another Double J, you know.
Jennifer
Janis Joplin.
Oh,
there you go.
J. Jonah Jameson.
What a great front woman she was. She was a great back woman too, though.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, that song "Get Spider-Man." I love that.
Man,
everyone loves J. Jonah, that character, but I fucking hate it. I think it's stupid. It's too much. It's like. It's time stamped almost.
Ever heard of Tucker Carlson? It's like the same guy. Like he's just obsessed with.
Well, I liked that they like updated it in the new Marvel movies where it's like, yeah, he's kind of like a more modern like political thing, but the old like yelling newspaper guy from the Maguire stuff feels like a Stanley time stamp that just doesn't feel like it would be ever real. But the other version that they did, I like. I like the newer one.
I would like if they did a movie that like we thought was Spider-Man and all of a sudden it just became a background story to the guy that owns the newspaper stand.
There's probably a couple comics like that, I think.
Just like starts Spider-Man swinging in, picks up a paper, and then all of a sudden there's no more Spider-Man the rest of the movie.
Was he just like a shot in the head or something?
Just that man lives an honest life peddling newspapers in the morning.
Just because I have powers doesn't mean I have to go save people, you know?
Yeah.
I sell magazines.
There's probably a lot of comics like that. All those indie books where it's just like, what if a superhero just like was, they just like do like a tiny little twist on it. Everybody thinks it's the most brilliant thing ever.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I don't need to see that.
Yeah. I would rather see just a good Superman movie. That's all I'm craving right now.
I don't know.
That's
that we're
so Craven.
That. Yeah.
What?
Oh man. That's
you know what I'm craving?
Craven.
I'm craving James to jingle them balls.
Dude,
oh,
jingle,
I already jiggled
man.
Them.
Oh.
I already jiggled them.
Well, then everybody go to jabroniu.com.
Yeah.
There it is.
That was quick and easy. I like it. Everybody. So, Drew, you got the first pick.
Ow.
Yeah.
James got the second pick. That's me.
Ah.
Justin, your third. And Andy, you're rounding us out.
That's not
good. I quit. Yeah.
You're probably still going to get your first overall pick somehow.
I'm glad I got first because I was about to put in the Kevin role for this. If I didn't, I was about to risk it.
Oh, really?
Do you think maybe I should then?
I don't know.
Just to fuck you?
Well, I know. You have to know what Drew's going to pick.
Yeah.
I feel like I know.
Everyone knows.
You know what?
I could just pick it right
now. Let's KA rule it. Let's KA rule it. I'm using my KA rule.
I don't know what that means.
He gets to re-roll the balls.
Yeah, we're re-rolling the balls.
Fuck.
Yeah, baby.
I kind of liked having second. Damn it.
So wait, do I have a steel card though?
Yeah, we all have
steel cards. Yeah, I think we all do, yeah.
Son of a bitch.
All four of us.
I'm going to use mine. Probably. Right.
So, probably. Andy, you just used your Kevin Rule. Now you don't get to do this again, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
this
I'm done.
Done for the year.
I'm done for the year.
So early in the year.
Yeah, man.
It's too early in the game for a coach's challenge, my guy.
No, it's like, it's the first quarter.
Oh, man. Oh, shit.
Sometimes you got to do it, though, just to.
Oh, fuck. Drew, you got so fucked.
Yes.
Oh my god, he fucked you so hard just now.
Oh yeah, it felt so good.
What if he still doesn't take the person I was gonna take?
Well, the first pick is me. Now,
okay.
And I could take it, and I know exactly what it is.
I probably know what it is too, and it's not on my list because I know you guys are suckers.
So here's the new drop.
Drop.
James gets first pick. Mm-hmm. Andy gets second pick.
Yeah!
Justin, you're still at three. And Drew, you're rounding us out.
I love it, man. That's fantastic.
Love it, too.
I'm fine with it. I don't care.
All right. Put me on the clock. Pop. Unless somebody wants to re-roll again.
No.
All right.
Pop.
Let's do it. Let's hear your very amazing... unique pick.
I don't know if I should go like my theme or if I should like turn my theme into fuck Drew.
No, just go with your theme,
because this is like a good opportunity to make Drew use a steel card like right now.
I was going to make all of my picks horrible. I was gonna do all like late 90s, early 2000s, like dad butt rock, new metal.
Oh man, that'd be a fucking banger.
Yeah.
Like Jonathan Davis.
Stained and shit like that.
Easy. Hold on. Let's not.
All right. Here's what I'll do.
No, go ahead and mention it. All right.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with my theme. And first off, maybe you guys don't think that this guy deserves number one pick, but this guy, he was a back man and now he's a front man. And he's been doing it for fucking many, 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 many years. And he's been doing it at a high fucking level for many years. And he's a pretty fucking cool dude, in my opinion. He also helps out on a lot of other fucking amazing albums. He's like very cool to his fans. He brings people up on stage with him and stuff. He lets people play the songs with the band. Like, it's incredible. I'm going Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters.
EG.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I figured just, that.
Yeah, you took my number one pick.
Is that true?
No.
Yeah.
Oh no! Yeah. See, I know that's not it. I knew that wasn't it.
No, that's here's cool though. Like he took what he learned, you know, from the back, and put it to the front. You know, you gotta.
I wonder if Dave Grohl would have got back to me though. I don't know. It's hard to judge this.
I'll take Dave Grohl over Kurt Cobain any fucking day.
Me too.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
All right. I agree. Just dropping names.
Yeah, Kurt was like such a. Okay. I don't want to go on a rant, but.
Well, he's got to get picked at some point. So we can
that,
wait.
That
to
dude,
rant.
That dude doesn't, you know, push his fucking wig back. He becomes, I would say, not that great after a while.
Yeah.
I think like they're, you know, we're talking like. I'm trying to picture Kurt Cobain. Releasing an album in like 99, 2000. How did they roll into the new metal years? I don't know. I just don't think he's smart enough or.
Ooh. Oh, man.
He wasn't. I mean, he wasn't.
I mean, we'll get to him. Let's put him on pause. He's going to get picked.
I didn't mean to cook your fucking number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave Grohl, everybody.
Oh man.
Oh, that way he talked him up.
Yeah, that's true. By shitting on Kurt, you talked Dave Grohl up. So thanks for honoring
me. Yeah.
I think Dave Grohl is brilliant. I think they have some very mid albums, but I think that he's brilliant as just like a businessman and a musician and a face of rock and roll that people can like look up to.
Yeah.
That you know
here's the other thing he was popping while rock and roll was not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And he stayed relevant too.
Fucking talent to like be able to be still hot while like the genre was kind of dead.
Yeah.
I mean, the genre is dead now.
I think it's coming back.
I don't know. I think to be a recognizable face for young people at his age,
it's pretty crazy.
And people go like, yeah, it's really impressive because most bands that are touring regularly, most young kids don't give a shit about unless they're specifically into rock music. Yeah. But kids know Dave Grohl. He's in commercials.
Also, Studio 666, I really fucking enjoyed.
I never watched it, and I don't know if I ever will now just because dude is dead.
I get it. I get
That's the reason I haven't.
I fucking like it.
Weird about it.
I thought
R.I.P.
it was cool.
Taylor Hawkins, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those ones, again, like, that was a rough one for a while. Like, because again, I'm not a huge Foo Fighters fan, but like, I'm a fan of rock music. And then you start going through like, and that's the same thing with Dave Grohl, who just has connections after connections to every band and artist that you could think of or name or like. They've played together, recorded together, done things together.
Yeah, he's done drums on a bunch of projects that I also love, which is like,
it's hard for like, especially in rock music, for like most people to be like, oh, that's a fucking cool dude.
Yeah.
Like most of the time, half of the people are going to think you're a piece of shit.
Right.
Yeah. He has no real scandals either.
Crazy. Yeah.
Nah, he has no scandals. He's got kids. Yeah.
Hard to be a rock star front man when you're nice. You're Paul Rudd nice.
Yeah, there's stories about him like banging 14-year-olds, you know, and he's on tour. So that's good. That's a good thing. Because like pretty much everybody I like has one of those stories.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, they thought they were 18.
That's Justin's theme. You
know? Yeah.
It's close.
All right, I'm ready.
Andy?
I'm excited. I don't care if this was Drew's pick or not. To me, this is the number one. To me, this is the best front man ever. It's got the combination of everything you want, the voice, the eccentricness, the flamboyance, the stage presence, the performance, all of it. Give me Freddie fucking Mercury.
Oh shit.
Oh shit. I didn't even think about him.
Yeah. Okay.
That was when I immediately made my list, I was like, oh God. I was like, which one of these guys is going to pick Freddie Mercury first? Was my first thought.
It'll be me. And I don't care if that's basic. To me, he's the best ever.
It's not basic because it's like, it's such an obvious choice because it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, this is what
it's like, what do you like to eat? What's a really good food? Pizza. I mean, you can't be like,
pizza frontman. You're right.
Yeah. It's like, it's just like everybody who's ever heard Queen goes, oh, I like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't like rock music like Queen. Like,
I even enjoyed that movie, even though I thought the movie was ass because the songs were so good. Songs are so good. It's just like, like watching a visual album of songs that you know. But I was just like, this movie's mid story wise, but, these songs are amazing, and so it's like enjoyable, and it makes you feel good because you just like, oh wow, it's a nice reminder.
Are you talking about Highlander or Mighty Ducks?
Dude,
fucking Live Aid. I don't know that we'll ever have anything like that again.
Put it together with a live performance too, like that.
Yeah, was this who you were gonna pick, Drew?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
There's no doubt about it. Like,
can't you just steal it though? Or are you saving your steal?
I mean, he can, but
we'll see if I can build a team.
I like how Andy told me to go with theme, and then he went with the fuck Drew.
No, I went with my number one.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
I mean, I would have picked him number one had you not told me to go with my theme. So you like, you kind of fucked me too. You know, like you're like. Who are you?
Dude, I got one of those double dills, you know?
This is psychological warfare.
Yeah, you know? I got a purple people eater, you know, those double dills.
Wait, why don't you guys want to fuck me, though?
I mean, I
don't know what yours was. I don't know what yours was.
I don't know where yours is. Am I not desirable? Like Drew might be able to fuck you. For us, it's going to be tough.
I can't because he's going before me.
Yeah, but you could fuck him on the way back.
I could.
I'm just hoping to get fucked. Okay. That's all that matters.
We'll fuck you. All right. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Whenever I do this, I never pick my number one first, and I'm gonna stay that route. Yeah, eat it, because that way I can listen to you guys.
Weird Al?
I don't know that I would call him a front man. I think it was his own thing.
Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, go.
Yeah. Let's go. You're on the clock.
All right, I'm gonna start with actually, my current favorite singer and frontman, the king of sexy new metal 90s, the only person with a goatee I respect.
Oh wow, this would I could have picked this.
What?
This is Chino Moreno, the singer of Deftones, the only man that can swoon ladies, be about 40 pounds overweight with a goatee, and girls are just like goth girls everywhere dropping them panties for this guy. I would drop my panties if he asked me to in a heartbeat. Mine. Yeah.
Dude, this is wait a second.
What? What's happening?
Yeah. I'm thrown off. I'm thrown off.
Why?
Because I actually I thought I had no idea who this was, and I fucking do know because I've got a fucking song on my playlist from last year of theirs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude. Deftones are fucking legit.
Deftones is my favorite band of all time, so it'd be dishonest of me not to put it in the list. And also his side project Crosses is really good. He's got a lot of side projects. He does songs with rappers. Huge rap. He was actually the person who turned me on to Cool Keith when I was in high school.
Oh, okay.
He mentioned he used to like post like stuff like in the early days of the internet. It exposed me to a lot of like weird music back in the day. I've touched his hand.
Nice.
No big deal. I saw them at the Roxy. They did a show, a Crosses show. For Crosses, not Deftones, because Deftones couldn't play the Roxy because it'd be a pylon of insanity. But I saw them play, and I was like one of the first people there hours early. So I was right in the front, and he touched my hand. I reached it up like a teenage girl, and he touched it, just kind of grabbed it and pulled away. And I wanted to just like pull him down, but I didn't. And yeah, great voice. Still, family man. I love everything about him, style wise. It's just like you got all of those right touches of Morrissey and Depeche Mode, but also like all of the heavy metal influences as well. I love that band. And I love Chino. I love him. I honestly, like, again, I worry sometimes about my obsession with like these kinds of people, because like I'm glad like that they're decent people, because if he met me and he was like, look, give me all your money, kiss me on the lips, I'd be like, yes, sir. I would do it. Like, I wouldn't even think about it. And I owe like teenage years. Okay. We're talking high school years. We're talking college years. We're talking my 20s, my 30s, and then now. Like this guy, it's nice to grow with artists you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've grown with him. I mean, he's only like a couple years older than me. And yeah, Chino, baby.
That's awesome. Sexy.
Great. That's music crazy. To bone to or work out to, whatever you like.
You could do both at the same time.
Technically, they are similar. And yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you have an elevated heart rate, I think you're working out.
And remember, they're deaf tones, not tone deaf. All right.
Jesus Christ. Get, okay. Goodbye.
Wait. So the Polyphia or whatever, I'm probably not saying it right. That's him?
Yeah, he's on that album.
Okay.
That's an album with like with all the different guests.
Like that shit is the one I was talking about. Like that was fucking fire.
Yeah.
It's, you want playing like God, really? Playing God by Polyphia.
Yeah, you know, that Polyphia also has a fucking Steve Vai feature, which is amazing. Steve Vai, one of the best guitar players, if not the still living best guitar player of all time. Wild. That's a wild album because it's got so many different people on it.
That album is fucking amazing. Yeah.
Really good. And what was I going to say? I fucking lost it. Whatever. Who cares?
I got excited because I didn't think that.
Oh, I was going to tell you that Chino did a song with Trippie Redd. You should look that up. It's really good.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah, he did a hook on a Trippie Redd song, and it's actually really good. Really, really good.
Hell yeah.
He used to do a lot of that stuff in the 90s. What was that fucking...
Alcoholics. Geronimo! Oh, fuck. Yes.
Yeah, Geronimo.
Okay. Wow, I'm excited right now.
Yeah, he's
great.
A lot of
hip-hop artists were influenced by these guys, hip-hop artists of today. So, like...
Yeah, guys like Denzel and...
Yeah, it's all making a big resurgence, especially in the hip-hop world.
Yeah.
I think that's a thing people obviously want to forget a lot about the nu metal years, which I totally get, because it was just like... It's like any fad or like anything in music that kind of gets watered down and blown out after a while, but... You forget that, like, okay, yeah, these guys were putting out a lot of corny records. Limp Bizkit was putting out corny records, and Korn were putting out corny records. But they also did songs with DMX and Ice Cube and Method Man. And they were doing these records that were putting on, like, lots of white kids to rap, which I think is really important. And it was like a vice versa. Kind of like the Eminem thing.
That's true.
And it was really important, especially if you like lived in the Midwest and like you weren't exposed to a lot of stuff. If you were one of those kids who was like unfortunate to not like maybe have like cool friends that expose you to cool music, then you pick up your little fucking Korn album and they're playing like, oh, there's Ice Cube. They weren't listening to NWA before that, but they might go back and they might start listening to Cube records and be like, oh my God, I like rap now. And like, that was not what happened to me, but I respect the hell out of those. And you can't make fun of those guys. They did records with legends, huge rap legends. And so
you're preaching right now.
Yeah. I think there's a lot, just like anything else, a lot of crap came out, but there was also a lot of like good shit that was popping from like 96 to 99, 2000. Cool records, man. I went back and I listened to that stupid Limp Bizkit song that's got DMX on it. That was it, the Roland remix.
Yes,
that shit slaps, man.
Dude, and that really music video slaps. With that guy and Method Man. That song fucking slapped too.
That's an awesome song.
Those are
great records. That song with Method Man and Fred Durst. That's a DJ Premier thing. Everyone like forgets about this.
Yeah, you're right.
DJ Premier fucking produced record. Like, what are you upset about? Because Fred Durst raps old school style raps on a record with Method Man. Who cares? Why? I don't know.
I didn't think we were gonna get this talk on this pod.
Yeah, I know. I like this.
I'm hyped.
Yeah, I'm gonna change my answer to Fred Durst. Get me out of here.
Do it.
It was close.
He'll go.
He definitely will at some point.
All right, Drew.
Man, I think I might know who my pick is now. I'll make Andy trade with me.
Ain't trading cool. Freddie for Fred. I don't think that'll work.
I'm going to go with, that talk almost made me want to pick somebody else like right now just because of like what we're coming out of, but...
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
But I'm going to go with somebody else that I feel like it's kind of weird because every once in a while you get two people that like the vocalist or the guitar player could actually be like, the iconic person from this band. But I think this guy does such a good in his day, he did such a great job as like living that lifestyle. And it's Axl Rose.
Oh shit!
GNR,
yeah.
Whoa! There, slow down.
I like to say guns and roses.
I like to say guns and or roses.
I like to say Star Trek.
I think over time, Slash has had the better legacy. Because he does all that cool comp shit, but I don't know, man. I just, especially like, you know, from that first album to like Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, like those were, there were some hot years for Mr. Rose.
Late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, they were.
Axl is amazing. People don't give him enough credit as a songwriter. Writing November Rain in a dirty fucking like apartment above the Sunset Strip on a little fucking keyboard or whatever while everyone was just doing coke. he was writing those songs. Yeah. And did he have a bad attitude? Of course. But like, you know, half his so a good portion of his years where half his band was so fucking drugged out on heroin while he was like trying to become like the biggest rocker in the world. And yeah, he had a bad reputation of like blowing concerts because of his ego and stuff. And but he's also a weirdo. He's one of those weirdo perfectionists.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I love Axl so much, and just let me know when I'm allowed to steal it.
I guess.
Oh boy.
I like to mimic his voice.
Axl,
last forever, the nickel November. I can't do it. I'm not good.
I saw them on the second leg of the reunion tour in 2016, and it was fucking amazing. They sounded great. He's definitely gotten a little slowed up in the last couple years. I think they just have been touring too much and doing too many shows.
Yeah.
But he's also become like a really soft, sweet, sensitive guy in his later years. I don't know if you saw any of the footage of him at Presley's funeral. He sang there, did a little couple songs, and he did a little interview. He's very soft spoken now.
He used to be hard as an axle, now he's sweet as a rose, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Oh wow.
But like,
oh, pulled that out of your gun.
So like, there you go.
Appetite for Destruction, fucking perfect album. Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 are perfect albums. Bloated, yes, but you know, sometimes good rock albums are nice and bloated and fat and just like, because you can go like those two albums, you can find stuff later on that you didn't like when you were younger, and then I like now as an adult, that songs on there that I hated when I was a kid, oh, like these are fucking stupid, and now I love so much because there's a depth there and there's a lot going on. I'm kind of glad that they fizzled out before the new metal thing or really grunge, because he was tiptoeing. I think he was gonna try to go in like a Faith No More direction towards the end. There's a couple of songs where he's kind of like sing rapping, and I think he was really into Faith No More and what those guys were doing, and I think that they, if he would have if he would have started doing a little more rapping stuff, because he had the swagger underwear and shit, I wouldn't have been so into it. But again, I love Axl Rose so much.
It's crazy that that album had Welcome to the Jungle, Paradise City, Sweet Child of Mine, like just those three songs to be on one fucking album is insane.
Even shit like Night Train is fucking so good. Like,
yeah,
every song on Appetite is a fucking straight banger.
Yeah, that's, you can play that back.
But like three of the biggest rock songs of all time.
Yeah,
to be on one fucking album is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to bring it back to Freddie Mercury, huge Freddie Mercury fan. Did that I remember watching the Freddie Mercury benefit concert on my shitty TV as a kid, watching that was huge for me. I did, just like so many moments, him doing the MTV Awards with Elton John in the 90s and stuff before Eminem did it, let's just say that.
that was a different thing. That was a, hey guys, I know I said the F word a lot, but look, I'm on stage with Elton John now.
Well, fucking Axl, I mean, they all said all things too. He wore horrible shirts, and they all I mean, Axl's got a really, they got a really bad song on what's it called Lies. Why is it not in my brain? The newspaper cover album.
GNR Lies.
that there's a song on there that everyone should avoid, that no one okay. should listen.
Yeah, 1988 though.
All right. My turn again.
Hit it.
Justin kind of segued it into it, and it is Mike Patton from Faith No More, and Mr. Bungle, and Tomahawk, and Mike Patton, and all the good things, Peeping Tom, all those good things. This guy, from a vocal standpoint, like, there's no one better. Like, his vocal range is astounding. It's amazing what that guy can do with a single microphone. I mean, obviously he uses a lot of effects too, but yeah, he's amazing. He fucking genre bending in what he does. And again, tying it into, I always think of, like, when I think frontman, I don't just think of, like, yeah, you're really good in the studio. Like, you have to fucking put on that performance on the stage too. And this guy fucking has it. So Mike Patton.
This is the guy you fucking put me on. What's that album?
I think it was the Peeping Tom record.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That was fucking fire.
Yeah.
I really love Faith No More. Faith No More is a fun band to listen to because it's really like the early stuff to the latest stuff is so different, but also it's so recognizable. Yeah. And that's
And they're I still remember their SNL performance was like groundbreaking, because they were like going nuts. Like, he's like climbing shit and like headbanging and stuff. Like, it was awesome. So,
and Lauren said they're not allowed back.
No, yeah, I don't think we'll have them back.
Justin, you talked about Cool Keith. Cool Keith, I think, was on that Peeping Tom record that Drew sent me.
Nice.
With this dude, Mike Patton.
Yeah,
Mike. I didn't know much. Honestly, I didn't really know much about Faith No More or Mike Patton.
Yeah.
So it's all fairly new this year to me.
Album of the year. I love that album so much. The first three albums are just like, they're perfect. Perfect funk. That funk, that weird on the line funk rap.
Yeah. Oh, that's my shit. Yeah.
I love it so much. Such a cool voice. And I listened to the Tomahawk records. They weren't my favorite, but I liked some of the Mr. Bungle stuff as well. But yeah, he's fucking great.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, Drew, that you introduced me to Faith No More as well.
Yeah.
Like, back in...
I try to champion him, you know.
Days.
Yeah.
It's such a funny name for their band too, because I really don't feel like, when especially their early records, I'm like, you would think it's like this big, like, it's a very like statement-y kind of like Bad Religion or something.
Yeah, but they don't preach at all.
It's not really like, I mean, there are obviously some political tones in some of the songs, but it's not that on the nose. Their name is very on the nosy.
Yeah, it feels very Evanescence-y. From a name perspective.
Save that for your female list.
All right.
Said it.
Justin. You can
wait. Scroll. It's my turn again already.
That's all right.
Well, I just want Axel back. Give me Axel back.
Okay.
Oh shit, you're gonna steal it?
Oh, yep. I love it.
Axel's my fucking second favorite like singer of all time. It's gone.
Look, I know you wanted to be fucked, but you straight up just did the fucking there.
Yeah.
Everybody fucked Drew.
I guess I did. Yeah. I guess I did fuck Justin then.
Yeah,
Drew,
you did.
Drew is a front man slut.
All right, do we need to talk about Axel some more, or can I go to my pig?
Well, I think he took like 3 minutes originally about Axel, so.
Okay.
No, here's another 20. Also, I just want to mention one more thing about Axel. Style, fucking 90s style icon.
That's true.
Yeah,
those are
fucking
facts.
Bandana with the fucking hat and the big baggy Jesus Christ t-shirts, running around in briefs with big fucking white chunky Converse on with flannels. He did not look like the, and again, Guns N' Roses, they did not do the glam metal thing. They did not dress like that. They did a little makeup in the early days. You look at the early promos and stuff, they had some stuff on, but Axel was a fucking style icon. And I wish, like, when I did my Axel costume a few years back, I remember I had the wig on, I had everything, and I was like, I wish I looked like this all the time. Like, I just want to dress like this. I wish this is actually how I fucking looks, like, 24/7. Is he just like, to me, like, I look at that, I go, that's fucking cool. And it's like, not really what's in, but I'm for me, that's what I wish I looked like. So, yeah, dig Axel.
Dig it.
All right. So, for my number one pick, I'm gonna go with I said I could have maybe picked him on some of these same terms than Zach De La Rocha.
I was possibly gonna take him next. So.
Again, another guy that definitely, I mean, to me, was able to introduce people to that, you know, to rap and then still make really good music. I fucking love Rage Against the Machine, and you know they like. What was it, that the Renegades album, like that?
Oh yeah, the cover album.
Yeah, that thing was so good.
That's my hair, brother. I
came across the MC5 the first time.
You do have some Zach De La Rocha hair, kind of.
Yeah. And now he's like, you know, doing Run the Jewels and all that shit. So it's fantastic.
Dude. Yeah, and he straight up inspired, like, a bunch of hip-hop artists I love. Like, again, Denzel Curry. If you haven't listened to the Bulls on Parade Denzel Curry version, go check that out. You can see the direct, like, influence that Zach had on, hip-hop.
Well, and even, you know, a couple years ago, three years ago now, you know, that was, like, the big talking point was, like, all these people that were, like, Blue Lives Matter. It was, like, yeah, you all own a Rage Against Me. You all own, like, it's not like this is anything new to you.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? you have Killing in the Name of on a mixtape somewhere, I guarantee it.
Those guys didn't even, like, those guys were playing, like, those songs that, like, rallying cries, like, the fuck you want to tell me, as, like, an anti-vax statement. I was like, your brains are so broken. Yeah, you were just like ignoring literally every word of all these songs, and you're just like, I like this hook makes sense to me right now. It's like, I'm gonna ignore 99% of the rest of the music.
It's like, yeah, it's like when Born in the USA was played, like Reagan's thing.
It was funny. Rage, that was, I had that first album, it was a tape. I had that tape. That was a big thing for me. I remember getting that first album on cassette in junior high. And that was a big flip over for me because I was like, still, I was mostly at that time still listening to Pantera and like Megadeth.
Yeah.
Again, good transitional thing.
Yeah.
There are those, again, you grew up in the middle of nowhere. You have no black friends. You have no Mexican friends. You have no Asian friends. And then you pick up these records and someone starts saying words that you don't understand, talking about subjects you don't know anything about, and your young rebellious brain goes, I want to look this up, I want to know what they're talking about. And it kind of like has a real positive effect on you, makes you empathetic to, you know, people who don't look like you. And
I will say too, like, especially growing up in the middle, I mean, I didn't have this because my dad would have never cared, but I guarantee there was a lot of dads that were still like they want to listen to hip-hop. But they'd be like, oh, I kind of like this rock stuff you're listening to. But it's like, it's the same message.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same message that NWA was telling you. It's just put to, you know, more guitar, like a distorted guitar. So
Rage was funny because, like, I remember I was just like writing stuff, like their lyrics, like on notebooks and stuff and like on folder covers. And I was like, I don't know what any of this means. I don't know who any of these rebellion groups are from Mexico, but I really like the words. like that. That's a great one.
All right, Andy.
I could go a couple different directions.
Andy now steals that one.
I'm going to go a little classic here, just because, again, when I think about frontmen, this is somebody that jumps up straight up to the top. And
I'm going to punch you. I'm going to fucking, if you punch one, if someone takes this, I'm going to kill, I'll kill you. I'll kill all of you.
For some reason, I feel like you're going to completely bash this dude.
Okay, good.
Maybe I'm wrong, but when you think about frontmen, you have to put him to the top of, you know, up at the top of your list. So I'm going to go Mick Jagger.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that was the dude that was like moving in a different way. And I don't want to do the moves like Jagger thing because fuck that. But realistically, yes, he was moving in a different way than other people and was bringing that fucking performance. And then he had that voice to go along with it. So when you talk about frontmen to people who know shit about, you know, they don't know anything, Mick Jagger's name's going to come up like in most people's top five, even if they don't know, you know, frontmen. So, yeah, Mick Jagger has to be you know, up high.
I like it. I'm not gonna bash Mick Jagger. I mean, I don't like. I haven't listened to like one of their newer albums in like a million years, and I probably never will. But their blues influences and stuff.
Yeah, which I'm into that part. Yeah.
Really good
R&B shit that they were doing. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I love Brown Sugar. I love Wild Horses. I like a lot of that stuff, man. He's great. Oh, yeah. I love the old early videos of them. He's such a weird looking dude moving around like a weird worm with his bug eyes.
His mouth is so much bigger than his face. He's got one of the biggest mouth to face ratios.
He's got a Simpsons mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Steven Tyler just out there with the biggest mouths having sex with the most teenage girls they can.
Yeah. He's like Terrence and Phillip. His whole head comes up.
You know, you say that. Obviously, he may come up later. He should, but clearly, there is a literal direct, like, dude is trying to be what Mick was, you know, and there's something to that.
Yeah, but that's Aerosmith. I don't think Steven Tyler would deny a Rolling Stones influence, especially on some of those records. And again, they did the same thing, very bluesy and influenced stuff. And I would choose Mick Jagger over Steven Tyler, even though I like a lot of old Aerosmith records. But I would pick Rolling Stones over that any day.
Yep. So there you go. I'm like, somehow mine is like the most basic of everybody's.
I think it's, again, there are some things where it's just like, oh, ice cream is good. Like,
I took fucking pizza and ice cream.
No one's going to be like, yeah, I hate ice cream. And you go, okay, you're a liar. Yeah. First of all. No one thinks you're cool for hating ice cream.
I remember back in the day getting Twisted Metal Black for PS2, I think. And the opening song is Paint It Black by Rolling Stones. And I used to just like, instead of starting the game, I would just sit and listen to the fucking whole song and then go into the game. So yeah. Their songs are so good, it's like you just gotta finish them, you know.
Yeah.
I won't lie. If I have the classic radio on and they play one of those songs, I always turn it off. But
oh yeah,
because it's just like, it's just Paint It Black, especially, just beat to death. If you ever like, I think it's a Midwest thing when you're just like, because a lot of people, like if you live in like NorCal or SoCal, they didn't grow up listening to classic rock radio all day with their parents or whatever. They listen to like R&B, 90s stuff like that. People in our age group, we're listening to rap and whatever in different areas. So they'll listen to songs. It's not burnt out for them, but like the classic, we did that whole episode on Nerdicide about the burnt out songs.
Yeah.
Those are some of the most burnt out, overplayed songs. Not because, and I don't skip it because it's bad. It's just like,
you've heard it too much.
Heard it a million times. Yeah.
I feel like it's just like, I just like kind of twitch and I go, okay.
Yeah.
I know. There's so many times like I'll hear like a Rolling Stone song and I'll be like, oh, who is this? Like, and I'll like it and I'll look it up and I'm like, oh, huh. Cause I don't, can't stand because I've heard those songs so many times. Like, and again, I just think of, like you said, like that everybody had fucking 104.7 WIMP.
I didn't have that. I didn't have that growing up. Because remember, last year I was going through all these different rock albums, and I went through like 3 Stones albums in like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever reason, I didn't fucking have that, you know. Yeah. So
I listen to like Warm 94.9. You know what I mean? Like Delilah. India. yeah. Shit like that.
Yeah, it was like I think it's like a weird
it probably is a Midwest thing.
Because it's just like it was playing in garages. It was playing if you worked in a place that had like a warehouse, or if you worked in a factory, or you were anywhere like outside. And that's still probably happening to this day. All those dudes who just refuse to like upgrade their stereos and shit, who are still just outside, like listening.
Yeah.
I hate this fucking sign. It's like, well, fucking listen to Spotify. Fuck no.
Yeah. So I think for us, it was like the Sweet Home Alabama people, the fucking White Snake. Like, that's the shit that was playing down south.
Whoa. You leave.
I didn't say a name.
You leave Whitesnake all the way out of this, bro.
I'm just saying that's what was playing down south, whereas like maybe Stones was playing Midwest. People weren't playing Stones like that down south, I don't think.
Dude, I wasn't even getting that. I was listening to fucking like Wilson Phillips and shit like that. Like,
that's
my mom would have that shit on the radio constant.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you showed up to like a repair place, an auto repair place,
yeah,
that's what they were fucking playing. Is
oh yeah,
like the shit that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, right. James, what are you talking about now?
Okay, so here we go. I am gonna go with one of the most wild and crazy frontmen to ever live, and with a band that has riffs that like blow your fucking dick off every time you hear them. And I'm going to go Van Halen, and I'm going to go David Lee Roth.
God fucking damn it. Sorry, I just yelled in front of the house when I got really mad.
this guy was fucking absolutely insane, but it translated very well to like viewers being excited when he ever fucking came on screen. So, and literally he was coming on screen. Like, that's how crazy this was.
Can you just change your answer? Because
you already used your steel card, man. Sorry.
Yeah, go right to hell. First of all, that was actually my number one.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
you've already got 2 picks. And you haven't picked him. You should have waited to steal, man.
I figured one of you would pick Axl for sure.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect David Lee Roth out of you, basic bitches.
I was going to pick Van Hagar, but I switched to David Lee.
Dude, don't judge a movie by its cover.
God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but my list is trash now.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, because as you know, people like to pick the movie covers differently, you know?
Yeah.
I love Diamond Dave is I would argue is the greatest frontman of all time. And you can bring up Freddie Mercury to death, but one of those guys is still alive and one's not.
And he did die. Yep. You brought him up to death.
I feel like that's why Dave beats Kurt, because he's still alive. And that's, and if you're still alive, you win.
And he never fucking got married. That's wild.
Yeah, I have very strong.
Dude,
strong
he put up Wilt numbers then, didn't he?
I have this big theory that I think that Dave is closet.
Okay.
Yeah, just because like he's
okay.
He's very, you know. Again, there's been a lot of talk about him, from like Sammy and other guys who just were like, he is this guy on stage, but like backstage, he's not. They say a lot of things like he's not that guy backstage. And like, it could be in reference to a lot of things. And also the fact that he never like had a public girlfriend or a wife or anything. Yeah. And he's very flamboyant. He's very dancey. He's very jazz handsy. And I'm not saying those things qualify you to be gay. Definitely not. But just when you put it all together on a big plate, feels like there's a good chance that he could be closeted. And that has nothing to do with anything. Yeah. but like he is doing midair splits.
He gave me 80s wrestler vibes.
Oh yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
No they're doubt. The start. They're the start. Van Halen's the start of glam metal in SoCal. They're the start. Van Halen was the band that started it. They were on stage in the tights, and then everybody else was like, "We're going to do that."
Mm.
To lesser degrees, if you have no Van Halen, you have no Motley Crue, because they were just like, "I want to do that." That same thing. But the difference is like Dave could actually sing, hit crazy high notes.
He'd
just be on stage fucking doing splits and with a fucking just chugging Jack Daniels and crazy shit. And you go back and watch all of his interviews, guy's fucking insane. Bonkers. Yeah. Like out of his mind, everything he said was weird. And I don't know how to describe it. And he's still weird. I follow him on Twitter. He just did a fucking video of him dancing to Kendrick Lamar. Then he like falls down. And he posted it. I was like, what the fuck? he went on Joe Rogan and like pulled his tooth out. He's like got a big gap and he like took it out. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, oh, what the fuck is wrong with your brain?
Yeah.
And he's got his hair plugs and he looks crazy. And I just adore him so much.
I feel like this is very wrestling, but I feel like Shawn Michaels, old HBK, took his style from what David Lee Roth was fucking doing.
100%.
Yeah,
he was.
Wrestlers, I think, pull from these front men like crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
In the 90s. Yeah. Well, actually, going back to my pick, Stone Cold, the glass breaking his fucking theme song. He said he took in like Bulls on Parade and was like, "I just want something that's like that."
Oh, okay.
And if you hear it, it's like, "Yeah, I can hear that."
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Damn, James, nice.
Fucking A, David Lee Roth, baby.
I take back every nice thing I said to you before this started.
Do not fucking call him.
Which honestly, that's almost a bigger like nod of respect, James.
Yeah, I know. You're right. You're right.
All right.
Appreciate that, Justin. Thanks.
James, you're back up.
Okay. Next I'm gonna go with this guy is like kind of a genius in a way. This band is just like stood the test of time. Never felt I still feel like it feels relevant today, even though it's like straight 80s music. So I'm gonna go Dave Gahan, Depeche Mode.
Oh wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Wow.
He was a great front man. And
this is getting, I did not expect this to go how it's going. Wow.
I like that pick. I like that pick
James
a lot.
James is probably listening to a lot of Depeche Mode in the Maldives.
Oh, fuck yes.
I love Depeche Mode. And important to note, they still put out new music that is very good.
Yeah, exactly.
That is fucking crazy. Yeah, you're right. They're still doing shit.
Brought me to somebody else that I gotta write down now.
And you know how much I love synth pop, and like nobody does it better than Depeche Mode, right? You know what I mean? Like,
God damn.
Wow, that is that fucking shook me right there.
Oh man, look at that!
I don't know what to do here.
I did some fucking studying this time. I got that.
Andy with his fucking basic bitch team.
Dude, I know. I gotta do something different. I know what I'm gonna do. It's okay.
Wait, is it?
He knows what he's gonna do. He's gonna go Fred Durst.
Is there still a theme here, James?
Yeah, I got a theme going.
Okay.
His theme is impress Justin.
Oh, it's fucking working.
I knew exactly what I was doing. Don't worry, it's all gonna go away with my next pick. So don't worry, you guys are gonna hate me with my next pick.
Oh, fuck.
But it's okay. I got you on three of them, so here we go.
All right.
I'm good. I'm just gonna sit and revel in this happiness that you guys are all pissed off at how good my
this theme is. Front men.
Yeah, right? Exactly. There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
I'm going out of the box. Shout out Taco Bell, thinking outside of the bun. I'm going Chuck D.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Public Enemy. He is 100% a front man when it comes to hip hop. So So yeah, I'm going this route. He's one of the greatest, you know, rappers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, it's my own spin on frontmen. So I went one, my personal one, two, like who I think people like view as like super influential. And then three, again, kind of going personal, trying to get some of my hip hop in here since you took Zach, because that's where I was going to fucking go. So yeah, Chuck D.
Huh?
That's very woke of you. Anyways, just kidding.
Look, man, It Takes a Nation, fire, Fear of a Black Planet, fire, Apocalypse 91, fire, the He Got Game soundtrack. Like, they got fucking just bangers all over the place, and they're super underrated and not talked about enough in today's day and age. You only hear Public Enemy being talked about with people that are like over 50 years old, it feels like. So
yeah, I agree with that.
It's a way to bring it to the younger people. People need to listen to some early Public Enemy. There's some stuff in there that's not as great, but like, look, like the impact they made at an early stage is fucking incredible.
Yeah, you could have. I mean, another similar thing you could go, not similar exactly, but you could go on Ice-T for his.
I thought about Ice-T.
Thought about it, but it's just this one to me was more of a, you know, Ice-T also had his shit where it was like his shit, right? Yeah,
solo
versus like Public Enemy. It's Public Enemy,
right? Know? I'm like, I'm just staring at my list and I'm so upset. It's like, it's trash now. It's a fucking trash list.
That's why you got to start taking your number ones, number one, if you learn anything for next time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it's worked for me every single time until now.
Yeah. We're playing
nice. Nice job, James.
Oh yeah.
Now we're out to get you. All right.
Yeah.
I think the key is to remember, hold your steel card till the end.
Yeah.
You know,
stare at your list some more.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, fuck. I'm just going to, because I don't have like a number. I don't have like somebody. I mean, there's guys. I don't have anybody that as a musical preference and a love could replace Diamond Dave on that level. So I'm not going to try to replace my number one right now. I've got a couple ideas, but I'm going to go with one of my smaller picks. I'm going to go with Peter Steele, RIP from Type O Negative.
Don't know anything about these guys.
Type O Negative's one of my favorite bands. Super sad that I was such an elitist dickhead when they were really, really popping in the 90s, because I was at that time, I was like, oh, I like punk and I like hardcore and I like all this crap that I don't really listen to anymore. And never got to see them before he passed away. But the thing is, later on in life,
Looks like a fucking mountain of a man.
Yeah, he was a very tall, very sexy. He actually did Playgirl.
I could see it.
Fully naked with a boner.
How tall is he? Why does he look so tall?
Because he is tall. He was a guy out of Brooklyn. He did like fucking
6'8".
He did like
holy
waste
shit. Management.
He did waste management jobs in Brooklyn. He was a working man's man. They only started playing goth style rock because him and the guitar player, like, they went to clubs and they're like, we want to have sex with goth girls, we need to play like goth music, and that's what they did, and they did it really well. He was funny, he was weird, he was at that time, especially for that audience, a sex symbol.
Did he have a real big one?
Oh 6'8", come on now.
Yeah. Massive dong. He also did what? Oh, he did Jerry Springer.
I want to like do this to it.
There's an amazing clip. He actually did Jerry Springer before they was just like all fights. Mm-hmm. He did Jerry Springer. He came out. Great classic clip on YouTube if you want to watch that, where he like, because the segment was about like groupies having sex with guys in bands, and he came out and he's just super lean with the long, perfect black hair and like a tight t-shirt. And he comes out and he does like the Catholic cross thing and like, and then like this, and it's just like so perfect, and it's pure 90s shit. But like, again, they have a lot of
A lot of great wrestlers.
I had a friend
Dorian growing up who was like he was like the Jinko guy. He was like my Jinko jeans friend.
Okay.
And like, dude, constantly typo negative, constantly playing at his house. I loved it.
I've tried in my years to put people on to typo negative, especially like September and October. That is literally all I fucking listen to is typo negative. I don't listen if it isn't about Halloween or like fall leaves, I don't want to hear it. And that's all I listen to. And it's just like, and also like the music's super horny and like sexy and romantic. And he was also like very self-reflective. They have some political stuff in there as well, but mostly as like a joke. It was very jokey. Like they have the song called Kill All the White People and stuff like that. Would he be canceled now? Maybe. Because he did say a lot of things, but nothing really horrible. But again, a guy in his time for sure. And one of the best voices. I love Pierce Taylor. Again, so one of like my biggest regrets musically, I never got to see him perform.
Him and his hard wang, you know?
Yeah. Massive dong. You got to respect it.
Drew, he looks like a super sexy version of the Great Khali.
did you guys have a Jinko jeans friend? Like
I wore
Justin.
Justin was the Jinko jean friend. I like that.
Yeah,
literally everybody.
And I remember Dorian. Dorian was at my bus stop.
Actually, I think.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, it was.
I think Jim probably not Alan, but Manon probably like he had the biggest like. I don't know like. Where he found like such giant like I feel like he had the biggest legs like Jinko's ever.
I had some
they were massive. Like I remember Justin wearing them, but they like his weren't as big like Jim Manor. Like feel like we're like each leg was like a like it was like fucking
it's like a 2XL it was like
John Bonham's fucking kick drum like just as a leg like it was insane.
I've got some photos of some of my pants and because I skipped Jinko like almost because I was like, I'm wearing big jeans, but I'm not going this cool. I'm not going the poser route. So I would like seek out like giant pants from other brands. And I was wearing this from this company called Kickwear, which were.
So you were just, wearing more skater. Like,
big jeans. Yeah. Yes and no. Because I would skate, but I wasn't very good at skating. So I could fucking skate in my giant pants. Cause I don't know how you could really do
more. You don't want to be a Jinko poser. You'd be a skate brand poser though.
I was wearing a lot of like, whatever, like was the newest jean they had at fucking PacSun. I was just like there buying them. I wore a lot of Bullhead and I swear to God, I wish I would have kept all that stuff. Cause it's worth a fortune now.
It is. Oh, really? It's so fucking hot right now is early 2000s, which I don't know why. I think it looks like total shit, but it's hot right now.
Nu metal fashion is definitely in. Anything late 90s, like because girls jeans are either you're either going back to low rise or you're going back to like the barrel jean.
Yep.
Big ass jeans and big t-shirts. I've talked about this on Nerdside many times, but if you go through like a high school area or a college area, all of the kids look like how I looked when I like all the skater kids. Like this, you see the group of kids walking with the skateboards, and I go, "That's what I fucking look like." It's just 90 pounds and just like wearing a sheet.
That's like so funny.
What they look like, and that's what I look like, and it's weird. Yeah. Weirds me the fuck out because it's cool to kind of live long enough to see those styles come back into your life. Which is a thing that happens. Maybe I'll live long enough to see it happen a third time. But yeah, I was not a Jinko guy, but I was a big. And you know what the worst part about the stupidest shit that I did? And not only did I wear giant pants, I sagged them. So like I sagged them down below my ass.
Yeah.
So like I was going, you know, like the Boy Scout style belts. Those pole ropes.
I
would go through those like in a month because they would shred because they were holding on for dear life to stay just above my pubic hair. Like if you lifted up my t-shirt, it's just like this much. It's like 6-7 inches of boxers.
I used to sag my shit too, but I would wear more like baggy hip hop jeans. You know what I mean? Like
I was wearing like hammer pants,
and then I'd have like the braided belt that fucking dangled down like an extra penis there. Like,
oh
you know?
God, yeah. I hated that fucking phase.
I had six wallet chains oh, all over, dog chains all over my neck and my wrist. It's not that much different than how I'm looking now. A lot of chains, but
you've slimmed up. You've slimmed it up.
Yeah,
I always wore a nice classic Casio. You know,
if it's a calculator watch.
I've got a gold calculator watch. Not to disrespect, but I've got a silver Casio on right now.
Oh, that's sick.
Nice. Look at that. See,
sick.
But
where are we? Yeah,
I'm feeling. I'm feeling the fashion pressures though because of Devin Booker. Every time when he was out in this injury time, he's just like stunting in his outfits. You know?
Oh yeah.
Big baggy jeans and beanies and big shirts.
Well, he's a fucking classic guy. That's why I mentioned the classic line. He's super into like classic cars and.
I was like, I told the girlfriend, I was like, this could be it. Like, I'm watching this guy stand there, and I'm like, I might be out by my birthday, might be out of these skinny jeans because I just can't. I gotta be that cool. I want to be Devin Booker cool. Like, I don't want to look like a dork in my skinny jeans. Yeah. And you're just like, it's so fucking weird that when I was a teenager, I looked at old people in super tight pants and was like, you guys are fucking dorks. And that's exactly what is happening right now. All these kids are looking at me and they go,
yeah, but their tighter pants weren't cool. Our tighter pants are cool.
I don't think they think that, my guy. I don't think they think that our tight pants are cool. I think that they think that we look like old dorks in our skinny jeans.
Well, see, I'm not wearing skinny jeans. I'm wearing like joggers that are cuffed at the bottom. So I'm not
those aren't cool.
Yeah, they're fucking cool.
That's still
they're
cool.
Really cool.
That's the sign of them cool. I swear to fucking God, they're cool.
No,
the one thing I always
I won't say why I know that they're cool, but they're fucking cool.
Andy has a hell of a look, I think. Yeah, that's yeah. I think he's like bringing us into the next phase, you know.
I think I'm gonna
I try to keep an eye on that.
Sure. I think I'm gonna try to get some 501s. I think I'm gonna go for it. Get some
501s. Just don't get 550s. If you get 550s, we're done talking.
I'm going to get some silver tabs.
Silver tabs, baby. I love silver tab jeans.
Oh, fuck. All right, Drew, what do you got? Back to backs.
No, back to Raven. Let me put myself on the clock. Let's see. Not that we've paid any attention to that fucking
thing. We have not.
I'm going to go with, all right, like I said, James kind of made me think of this, so I'm going to go with it. And this guy's definitely got some things wrong with him, but I'm going to go with Morrissey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From the Smiths and then on to just Morrissey. So, yeah, that voice is just butter.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny it. He's a piece of shit, but you can't deny it. You can't deny the art, Mike.
Yes.
And the influence
he looks like a 1980s male sex phone operator would look like.
Yeah.
What is he piece of shit for? What did Morrissey do?
Oh, he's one of those Brexity racists, I believe.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the immigrants in his country kind of vibe.
Well, okay. I gotcha.
Also, he's a
what do they call him over there? Tories.
He's also a big, chubby vegan.
What's a
Tory? I guess that's fine. That's
yeah, that's the one that we really hate about.
There it is. A Tory is a supporter of the Conservative Party in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll know about Tories if you listen to Idols. Yeah, I mean, I hate Morrissey as a person, but he's got some great songs.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, between, like, you know, his own stuff and the Smiths, like, there's just some classics in there. And you want some sad music, or there you go.
Yeah, it's good for that. Yeah. It's kind of just nice at times.
Yeah,
just nice.
Yeah, it's kind of like croony.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. You
know? Yeah.
It's like The Cure. Like, everyone like just labels The Cure as like goth, but like when I listen to The Cure, I'm like, this is nice. This is like, sometimes it's just like nice, buttery, soft rock.
Yeah.
He just has the eyeliner on.
Right?
There it is.
All right.
That's enough.
Hit it, Drew.
Yeah, let's hit it.
They saw a raven. Oh, they saw she did. Draft on lips, you know.
All right, I'll get this bitch popping. I saw a movie that for some reason got a lot of hate, but it's in my top 10 for the year. It was fucking fire. I'm talking about a movie that is now on Paramount, Babylon.
Oh, Babylon.
This
everyone
fucking
that.
Movie
Brad
was
Pitt,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah, Margot Robbie, Brad Pitt. Diego Calvo was in fucking incredible. Nice Joe, little appearance by Toby. It was
Joe Russo.
So
awesome. Joe Russo of Nerdsite fame was just on Twitter like shouting this movie out big time.
I was gonna say I heard it was who's talking bad I about it.
I've seen I saw a lot of like shit being talked
mostly
about.
Just- I don't know if anybody all I heard was just about it was because it was just a commercial failure. Because it cost so much and no one saw it.
Maybe that's what it was, but it was incredible. Like,
yeah,
it gives me vibes of it's a different movie, but it gave me vibes of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's just, it's a different style. It's more of the silent actors that kind of went into the talkies, movies and like trying to go from that, you know, the, in a weird sort of way. It was like. Yeah. Brad Pitt was a silent actor.
Yeah.
And it was a weird sort of, in a weird sort of way, the talking almost silenced the film star of the silent movies.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a fucking bar.
Wow.
But like, that's kind of how I felt.
Cave Paradise, you put them park in lot.
There was like some like,
it's like the same thing.
Sodom and Gomorrah type shit, right? Like,
hey, why?
I had these crazy extravagant parties and it was just fucking fun. I know there was people that were saying like there was too much, it was hard to follow, but like it was one of those things where I just enjoyed the movie for the fucking movie. Same thing with Once Upon a Time, where the people that were criticizing Once Upon a Time, they're just like they just don't like that style of movie.
Yeah,
that's what Babylon kind of was with that style. There was not, they weren't necessarily trying to take you through some character arc or whatever. There was character stories there, but it was more about the film and like the like they have a scene where they do fucking like, I don't know, 8 different takes.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure it out. They're doing it for the first time. And it was like fucking gripping to me. But yeah, I absolutely love this movie.
And this is
highly
on
suggested.
This
yeah,
is on,
it's
P
on
Plus
Paramount
now?
Plus. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Why don't you DM me your password so I can watch it?
I got one for you for the network. I'll send it to you.
There you go.
Hey, that's the only one I don't have.
So but again, this is fucking weird. All these movies that are 3 hours plus are like in my movies of the year. It's,
yeah.
It's like just sit. Strange.
But you love a good sit.
I didn't like years ago, this would not have been my thing, but. Yeah, like I think I have like 5 3-hour movies in my top 10.
Nice.
Andy is like becoming a real cinephile.
And this is a cinephile type of fucking movie. Yeah. You know?
From pedophile to cinephile. There's hope for everyone.
Look, man, it's all very touching.
Yeah.
Lots of touching.
I got a couple things. I got like
all
a,
right, hit it.
Okay, so like last week I talked about how I finally watched She-Hulk, or like I started watching it, and I didn't necessarily like the first episode, but like it got better, I thought, throughout the series.
Yeah.
But then I saw the fucking finale, and that show sucks. So I'm switching it back.
You're back
to shitty now on that. I was not. I don't know. Just the way that they did the finale was to me it was like really generic. They were trying to be like Deadpool funny. And
I don't know if we've ever had that before.
He's like, hold on, I want to correct myself from a week ago. The show absolutely just sucks.
Watch the middle five episodes, and it's a good show.
Yeah, no, it's good. And don't get me wrong, like I'll go back to the second season. I just didn't like the way that they did the. I don't know, the finale. I thought was just kind of fucking lame.
I loved it, but that's fine.
Did you really?
Oh yeah, that's my favorite.
Like when she goes and talks to the Kevin Feige robot and shit, like.
Yeah, it's straight out of the comics. That's the same shit. Well, you can't Deadpool it up because She-Hulk was talking to the fucking readers before Deadpool was.
No, that's what I'm saying. Listen, I even talked about it last week that I loved her breaking the fourth wall throughout the show. But when they broke the fourth wall in that way in the finale, it just to me seemed like really generic. It seemed like
somebody had to roast the it's important. I mean, everyone,
if you're gonna roast it better than that.
If you're gonna do like a meta thing where you're basically taking like all the MCU criticisms and then putting them as plot devices, I think that they did that really well. They basically took all the incels who were mad about all the same talking points and they put them as like they made them into characters and like episode plot points, and to have them go to like a Kevin Feige thing and go, you do the same thing at the end of every movie, we're not going to do the same thing at the end of the show because they literally could have done it.
This is fucking bizarro world right
if
now.
They're not going to do it. I know, right? if they're not going to do it, then like just do the
Justin loves it.
Yeah, it's very weird. But also, so my raven though this week is that I watched Miss Marvel and I fucking loved
Miss
Marvel. I fucking loved it front to back. That show is fucking incredible.
Yeah, those were two of my Phase 4 highlights. Those both those shows I loved. I love Miss Marvel. I love anything when they're just like putting just a different spin on the same thing where you're just like, God, all those nerds would be like, I'm not going to watch Miss Marvel because it's for kids and it's like blah blah blah. And then they go watch Ant-Man. It's like, I'm tired of this. It's all the same crap. And I'm like, motherfucker, they give you shit that's different. You don't want to watch it. And then you watch like the white guy doing the thing and he's just like doing the same thing. And you go, ah, this is stupid. It's the same thing. It's like, go watch fucking Miss Marvel. Like,
it's got
characters with different voices and different backgrounds that put a different lens on those formulas, and I love Miss Marvel. That was a great
trying
show.
To get a job, Andy.
I thought Miss Marvel was
my favorite Justin ever.
And Miss Marvel to me, and don't get me wrong, She-Hulk, I thought the first episode was just, I know that that's like the origin story and stuff, but it was just kind of, I don't know, it was weird to me. I felt like it was kind of rushed to get to where they got to.
You just hate comic.
But throughout the show, I loved it. I loved everything about her breaking the fourth wall the entire time. I loved the actress that played She-Hulk. I loved everything about it up until that last finale, that very end of the show. I don't know. For whatever reason, it just didn't sit right with me. But if I'm gonna recommend a show, I've seen Miss Marvel front to back. I watched the finale already, and that show is absolutely fucking amazing.
Yeah. I like them both way so much more than Moon Knight. I thought Moon Knight was bad, but that's a talk for another show.
I enjoyed.
Oh
Moon
yeah,
Knight.
I'm like, oh I enjoyed God, Moon Knight. Like and dislike things. How bizarre!
It is.
All right, what do you guys got, Drew? Justin?
I don't like things. Remember?
Well, you could have a sheety.
I'm gonna go with something I like. I think I might have forgot about this one last week, but I can't remember. But this is one that a show that came back, so I'm super excited to see how it all wraps up. And that's Snowfall. So, they had the first two episodes this week, and oh, it's so good. If anybody hasn't got on it yet, I love that show. So
nice.
The music's so good in it too. So I mean, if
for nothing about else, it.
Watch it for the soundtrack.
Never got to it. It might be one that I might go when it finishes.
Yeah,
yeah. I
mean, it's in the last season, so it's a good time to start it.
The Wire is like my favorite show of all time. So like, Snowfall. I've heard like if you love The Wire, you're gonna love Snowfall.
I'm gonna watch in the summer, so it's all melty.
Oh, I know what I can trash.
That joke?
No.
Why would you trash that joke?
No, no, recycle that shit.
That was a great joke.
Yeah. Put it out to the curb, bring it back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All you right. want me to talk about them? I guess I guess the thing that's good is my basic bitch thing, which is The Last of Us, which is obviously the best show on TV right now. Everybody knows it. There's no reason to talk about it. I love sunshine and warm weather. Cool. Very interesting stuff to talk about something that's just so perfect. But anyway,
we haven't talked about it on the show actually. So
you're the first. I haven't started it yet. I was just gonna wait for. I was just gonna wait for the end.
It's stellar fucking TV. A perfect balance of drama and horror and action. A really, really good acting and really good pace. Because they're not dicking around on apocalypse stuff, especially apocalypse TV shows. If you want to reference point one is Walking Dead, where they just meander and meander and meander until you want to fucking blow your own brains out. It's like, yeah. let's all just talk about what's happening for six episodes.
That's kind of like why I'm like putting it off, because it's like, let me wait to see like how it ends. Cause I'm just waiting for everybody to be like, oh, don't even fucking watch it. Like,
oh man, it moves. It's moving. I mean, it's fucking moving. They don't waste time. There are no scenes that are like, there's no filler. It's all killer, no filler, man. It's really good.
Pascal, Nick Offerman. That's all you need to say to me.
Did you play the game at all?
No, I don't play video games. I'm a cool adult man. Just kidding. Okay. I'm a cool adult man. Look at all these toys.
The Last of Us game was just like that. Like, just it was the way that they told the story was so cinematic. Like, I feel like the show probably is similar to the way the game played out, because
I've heard it's pretty accurate. You know, obviously all the homophobes in their feelings about some of the episodes, but
yeah,
they can all fucking die, so who cares what they think. And it's really good. And again, I don't know, I like watching a show like this week to week because I really anticipate it. I look forward to it's like the Game of Thrones thing, where I look forward to like a Sunday night where I'm gonna sit down with like my dinner and I'm gonna watch a really good show.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. And I've tried to treat TV, but I'm just like, I out of anything else, I'm just like expecting everybody to just be like, never mind.
I don't think it's gonna think this is gonna be a home run. Because it's moving perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. I like to see a video game adaptation like do well.
Yeah, I don't think there's been this one. This one's as good, or maybe the last one that was as good is probably Super Mario Brothers.
Which I'm hyped for that movie.
Like the John Leguizamo one.
Yes, correct. Yeah. with Dennis Hopper.
Bob Hoskins.
Yeah. Come on, what are we doing? Can we get an NBA Jam adaptation?
I don't see why. That couldn't be any worse than fucking Space Jam. I literally just wasted all that time talking about something I didn't want to talk about.
Sports movie.
You dickhead. I just want to real quick say I hate two movies real quick. I fucking hate I hate Skinamarink. So there's like two trending like horror movies that everyone's like on TikTok and Twitter saying that's really scary. Oh, so scary. There's that, Skinamarink, and Outwaters. Both are absolute fucking nightmare boring. Like just so boring and stupid that
Wes loved Outwater.
If you like Outwaters and you thought it was scary, just go in your closet with like a flashlight and just scream. Just like look around, go in a dark area and just like scream and run around with a flashlight, but see nothing. That's that fucking movie. First of all, the first half hour is just like this dumb like art piece of like these kids and like going on a road trip, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is nonsense now. It's just dark and they're running around with a flashlight, which the flashlight does not do flashlight things. It fucking is so stupid. If you shine a flashlight, right? You've all used a flashlight, remember?
It's yeah. It's on my cell phone.
Yeah, different than like that. If you shine a light outside, what happens? Is it just a circle dot that just goes like this? It widens out because that's
not a spotlight.
It's science. Right. There's fucking light. They do this thing with the flashlight where it's like he's just the POV the whole time. The fucking flashlight looking around. So all you see is like a circle dot.
Is it like fucking desert, Blair Witchy?
Like blood stuff. And then the guy's just like muttering to himself, holy fuck, I was so mad. I was so mad when it was over. I was like, I fucking hate everyone on the internet who said this shit was good. It's trash. Honestly, Skinamarink is better because at least they don't try to like do a bunch of like gore for shock value stuff. Which is what they do at the end of Outwaters. Skinamarink is just dumb because are you afraid of the corner of your room at night? Because that's what that movie is for an hour and a half. Just the corner of rooms and the sound of cartoons playing in the background. That's it. God. You can make it with an iPhone right now. You could go off right now. You could make this movie shot for shot in your house tonight with a TV. And just all you do is the backlight of your TV. And you can make that movie and just have like, if you have kids, make them talk. The end.
Isn't that
effectively made me not want to see this?
Yeah,
I didn't know that I didn't want to see it prior to this, and now I know I don't want to see it.
Is Barney the dinosaur what pops up in the corner eventually? Like
nothing happens.
I punched Barney in the mouth one time.
I wish Barney popped
as
up.
As a fourth grader, stuck him right in his jaw.
Did you really?
Fuck yeah, at the fire station.
No, I don't know if I ever talked about it, but
I was a firefighter in a Barney suit, and Andy's just like, bah!
that Barney documentary on Peacock was really good.
Dude, all I need to see is Death to Smoochie. I don't need to watch that.
Yeah. It's essentially like, because that was kind of based on that, like, how like, Barney, like, just fueled the whitest hate from people, like,
oh yeah. God.
Yeah, oh yeah,
fucking hated Barney.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, don't watch those. Listening, don't watch those movies.
Yeah, they are so shitty. So shitty. Raven Sheedy.
It was.
Yeah, I was like really good. That was really an informative Raven Sheedy now.
But I didn't plan it.
Yeah.
Off the cuff, baby.
Improv.
Yeah. Can't spell suff cuff without a C and a U. So I'll see you next pick.
All right.
I don't know what you just said, but I'm gonna go with it.
Going much off my last pick of a guy who was in a like seminal 80s punk band and then started a band with his own last name.
You picking Deion Sanders?
I'm gonna go Glenn Danzig.
Ooh, Danzig, good pick. He's in my honorables for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Danzig.
Yeah.
I love Danzig.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know much Danzig music, honestly.
Plus, like the Misfits, like
yeah, and it, like
don't you like the open? I bet you remember the openings of The Hangover, though.
Oh, 100%.
Those are the songs.
Like, I'm just saying, like Danzig, like albums. I haven't really listened to, like, I've heard Misfits, but like not as much Danzig.
I prefer Danzig stuff to Misfits 1,000 times. Okay.
It's just Misfits is like the cool, like, I'm gonna wear this shit.
Cool shirt.
Know? But yeah.
And they've got some, you know, obviously some classic punk jams, but like,
which Danzig album should I peep?
Dude, just 1 through 3. Bing bang bong.
Okay.
Just 1 through 3.
Danzig 2, Danzig 3, 88 to 92.
I like a lot of stuff. I mean, he's really gone downhill as a singer, which is really unfortunate. He did an Elvis covers album, which is almost sounds fake. It's so bad. It's real bad because he's, you can, if you listen to him sing, you can hear that he's a huge Elvis fan, huge influence.
Right, so he's trying to sound like Elvis as opposed to sounding like himself.
No, he's
doing Elvis.
Danzig thing. He's just can't hit the notes like he used
to
anymore.
Got it.
So it sounds like it's a real struggle, and it wasn't recorded very well. So it just sounds bad all around. But I love Danzig so much. He's up there with Peter Steele as for those like sexy goth dudes. And he was also
almost vampire-y.
Look up Danzig's height. He's like, what, 5'5"? He's very short.
The typo negative guy and Danzig sitting next to each other? That would be funny.
They probably never would. Danzig was so insecure. Like when he did any band group photo shoot, he would always be in the foreground and they would always fake it. So he would look like he's the same height as the rest of the guys.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know what that means. Danzig, coming soon.
Justin, coming soon.
I have two picks left. What, is that right?
One left.
No, you got 4 and 5.
You stole one of mine.
Yeah. I lost one, so I still have two.
Yeah, you're on your fourth pick now, and then you got your fifth pick coming.
Okay, yep. Dad.
Wait, how is that?
I only picked three. Axel, Chino, Peter Steele.
I think you did Raven Sheedy one row too early.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, and I just went again.
Yeah, you dickhead.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm way out of order. That pick doesn't count.
No, you know, you're right, in order. No. You're right.
No, because I didn't. You're right. I didn't go all the way. It should have went back to you before I hit Raven Sheedy.
No, you. But it doesn't matter. You still picked Morrissey last, and you had the wraparound pick. So
no,
you're right.
No, man. That was my first pick. But no,
dude, I'm looking at the pick board right now.
But that was my. So I've already done five, though.
No, you've only done 4.
No, you haven't. You've done 4.
Really?
You've only done 4 picks, my friend. I'm looking
that
right
is correct.
At
correct. Yep.
Yeah.
You picked Dan Glenn.
You picked 5, but Justin stole it. So you picked 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's why, because you don't have Guns N' Roses anymore. Axl Rose.
Jeez.
You're all goodness. Fucked up.
You're right. Yeah. Damn. I'm all fucked up.
Yeah.
So fucked.
I was wondering why we were doing Raven Sheed, but I was just gonna go with it. You know?
I was rolling with it because you were like, all right, we're putting this.
You were so ready to go. I didn't want to derail the train.
Damn. Yeah. All right. Well, fuck. Yeah. That's great because I'm glad I have another pick now.
All right, Justin, hit it.
Oh, man. This is where I'm really struggling because I'm struggling through a few guys. Few guys that I really like. I love
life the boys. Imitates art, doesn't it?
I didn't interrupt, so James could get his laugh in. Fuck, I don't know. I'm just gonna go with because I'm struggling. So I'm struggling between 3, and I have 2 left. Because you know, Diamond Dave got stolen, so I just don't have anyone adequate to replace that hole. I don't think so.
Someone can replace it.
I'm gonna go.
Struggling to find the hole with a bunch of guys. I like it.
Jesus Christ.
I like it.
Superstar.
God. I'm gonna just. All right, fuck it. I'm gonna go Ronnie James Dio.
Dio,
AKA Dio, AKA the inventor of this, the metal horns. He was the first person to do the devil horns.
Is he really?
Yes.
That's incredible. What? That's
yes, crazy. Look it up.
Be the first person to do that. Wow.
It was something that I believe his grandmother, who was a gypsy, she would like do that kind of hand stuff to him. And when he would go on stage, because he was very much a performer. If you've ever seen old Dio, you know, he's a little tiny man with his curly hair and he'd have like his weird silky outfits and bell bottoms on. And he was very much like, you know, he's part of that metal that's just like about like dragons and sorcery and witches and all of that stuff. It's very storytelling-esque, Dungeons and Dragons vibes, not very political. You could really put him up against Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, but I would choose Dio, even though Bruce is a really good singer.
So which band is your favorite Dio?
I mean, fuck. I like
there's
Dio.
There's a shit ton.
Yeah, I really like Dio. I really like the the Sabbath records he did too. He did a lot of really good songs. Because people had seen it's like, oh, Ozzy wasn't on the Black Sabbath. But it was like, yeah, but like the rest of the band was, and they're still really fucking good. And yeah. it was like vibe wise completely different, because like you listen to like that early Ozzy, sludgy and stonery, and like, and then you listen to like this the Dio with Sabbath, and it's like, oh, we're just gonna talk about fucking dragons and witches and shit, and it's completely different vibe, but I really like it. He's also a really sweet, soulful man. He died of cancer way too young. One of the on record by everybody who ever met him, one of the nicest guys in metal. There's actually a documentary on Showtime, which I have not watched yet, but I plan to. I'm really looking forward to checking that out. But he's, again, a later in life kind of thing that I discovered, because when I was young, I you hear Rainbow in the Dark, and that was it on the radio. And you just go, that's the one song. And but do yourself a favor, listen to the Dio Sabbath records, because they are really good. And any interviews with him are great on YouTube as well, because he was just so nice. Whenever he was on that metal show a lot back in the day, such as just a really, really cool guy. And also on the second dead person on my list. So nice. I'm depressed now.
Shout out to the dead.
I didn't even know who Dio was until Tenacious D told me about Ronnie
James. Yeah, you got to look up the metal horns thing. That was him. And everybody will tell you, like, he was the first person to do it on stage, which is a huge, you think, oh, that's silly, but no, that's big.
Yeah, people do it to this day.
Yeah.
That's people like coming up with like a slang word in rap. Like you came up with like a word like that everyone uses to this day.
Like word.
It's fucking amazing. Yeah.
Like for shizzle.
September 2003, he accidentally severed his thumb during a gardening accident and a heavy garden gnome fell onto it. Dio was concerned he would no longer be able to do his signature devil horns hand gesture, but a doctor managed to reattach it.
Oh shit. Doctor saved the day.
That's amazing.
Thank Jesus for also, that.
That shows you how little a tiny of a man he was that a gnome fell him. He was very small.
Yeah. Oh. Big heart.
All right, Andy.
This is like taking a prime player that was great for a short amount of time. This is like taking a Biggie or Tupac in hip hop, right? I'm taking Jimi Hendrix.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Cause it's a little different than taking somebody like I'm not going to take fucking Prince, cause Prince, it's all about Prince, right? Even though he had a band behind him, it's not fucking the Prince experience, you know? So Jimi Hendrix experience was like a fucking band, you know? I don't know. You get what I'm saying though. It was like, you get where I'm coming from.
It was like the Jimi Hendrix experience.
Yes, but it was the fucking, but it was the band. It wasn't just the symbol or just Prince. It wasn't like, it was about the whole thing, you know?
I don't ever remember even seeing a band behind Jimi Hendrix. I just remember seeing Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, he had a band. Right. Yes. Come on.
This is a tough one for me.
Are you guys going to question Hendrix as a front man?
I think he's... In my opinion, that's like taking Alanis Morissette and then saying, oh, because she's got a band behind her.
No. Hold on. It wasn't the Alanis Morissette experience.
Was that the name of the band? I thought that was like the name of like the album.
They also called them the Experience. Yes, it was the name of the fucking band.
The band was called the Experience?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
Am I crazy here?
Maybe I'm crazy.
I don't know. I don't know.
I didn't know that, but if true, corny.
I thought it was like this is you're about to get the Jimi Hendrix.
All right, experience. I won't take it then.
You know what I mean?
Oh, you talked him out of it.
I feel like he just looked it up and he realized.
No,
he
was but that's how it was. It was like the Jimi Hendrix experience. Yeah. It wasn't just
so because it's not and the experience, like you're justifying it.
Yes.
Because it's Prince and the Revolution?
Correct.
See, like Prince
also,
and the Revolution, I
if
would
you,
take
well,
more.
Well, hold up. But if you look up, like, actually. If you look up the album names and stuff like that and, like, what it was, like, he put the Jimi Hendrix Experience versus like Prince didn't put And the Revolution.
Look, just let him have his bad pick. Don't bully him out of it.
How is it a bad pick? You guys
Purple are Rain
saying Jimi Hendrix sucks?
By Prince and the Revolution.
I would take Prince over Jimmy any day in any discussion.
Well, it's not that. It's more that Jimmy is a frontman of Jimi Hendrix Experience versus Prince. It almost feels like it was more. I would take Prince first.
Who are the backmen in the Experience?
Was it rotating musicians or was it?
I don't know their names.
I will say, because I was kind of thinking like not agreeing with what you said last week about Prince, but because of that, I was just going with anything that like if it's their name in the besides.
That's kind of my point. Yeah.
I mean, granted, I did pick Danzig, but like he also was like the singer for the Misfits too. So.
Right. But like literally the Jimi Hendrix Experience, right? Yeah. It's not just Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, you're right. It is, their band is called The Experience. I just didn't know that. I just thought it was literally like, hey, you're about to experience Jimi motherfucking Hendrix right now. You know what I mean? Because I don't remember ever seeing these two fucking weird looking white guys standing behind Jimi Hendrix ever in my whole life. All like, I remember is seeing Jimi fucking Hendrix shredding.
He's got them on the fucking album cover. Right?
Let's see here. Jimi Hendrix.
Well, if you look up like the box set.
Look up the box set. Sure.
You gotta look up this specific one. No, I mean, I see that they're on the album. It's just that, like,
I just don't like it. Go by two, that same rule, though, man. Like,
these
I don't know,
two
I
creepy white guys, man. I never even look like they look like.
I am more than okay if you guys want to challenge it, taking my pick away, and then I'll take two on the back end. I'm okay with it.
I won't challenge it because you're right. It is the band, The Experience. Yeah. I just didn't know that.
You know what a band I really like is the band with Elvis and the Presleys.
But the albums were like Elvis. It wasn't giving credit to fucking other people. Same thing with the Prince. That's where I'm coming from.
I thought Prince had like, what was the chick's name? And like, didn't he record with the Time? And like, I thought he had like a pretty steady.
Well, that Prince set up somebody I was possibly going to take later, whatever. I'll just say it, Morris Day. He set up Morris Day and the Time. He put them together. But Prince with Revolution.
You can't take Morris Day.
Why couldn't you?
Yeah,
because
he's got
it's
at
the Time.
Oh, well, okay.
Let him have both those picks.
Hey,
I mean,
all your picks should have had that theme.
Don't worry about Cheryl and the Crows. All right, come on now.
I would put more people up there. Like,
if we were, you guys are making me feel like I took a bad pick here by taking Jimi fucking Hendrix.
If we were going with and the people, like, you know, that brings like Tom Petty into it. That brings fucking.
You're right. No, this is Bruce, they're called
Springsteen. Yeah.
The difference, the reason that Andy is right is because they called the band The Experience. Okay. People just added Jimi Hendrix in front of it at some point.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't know that either. But now we've learned something. So, Andy has actually taught us something, and we're shitting all over him.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good, man.
But those two guys. Oh man, I probably wouldn't have listened to Jimi Hendrix if I had known they were back there.
The Foxy Lady was a song by Experience.
Yes.
The Experience. That's what they called him, yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for making Jimi Hendrix not cool.
What do you mean?
It kind of does make him less cool.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go through his track listing and see who wrote all these songs.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh, that was Brad.
Well, that was not my intent at
Roger.
All. My intent was taking a great fucking pick.
Don't worry, Andy. I'm about to take a pick that's going to get shat on way worse than the experience.
That pick, James.
All right.
I'm going with a guy who he's in on the joke himself. He's willing to accept the laugh and accept the ridicule. and still continue on doing his thing and making sweet, beautiful music. And it's, you know, he's like the front man of a jam band in a way, in some type of way. And I love his music, and fuck you guys because you guys don't. So I'm going to go with Dave Matthews of the Dave Matthews Band.
I mean, this is
do you just want to hit that next ding?
It's not the same thing.
No, you're right, James. It's not. That's a great pick.
That's right. It's Dave Matthews Band.
I'm so glad.
That's the name of the band.
You filled your team with Dave Matthews.
Yeah, and also Dave Matthews Band, like, you know, the fucking, you've seen the band members in the background, you've enjoyed their saxophoning
somehow,
and
you made them less cool, James.
I would have gone Hootie and the Blowfish over Dave Matthews Band.
That's the next thing.
That's fine if you would have gone that, but
picking Hootie.
If you guys haven't realized now, all of my people are Daves. Every last one of them is a Dave.
Oh.
So I'm taking Dave Matthews bands, all right? Tell you what.
You missed the best David of all time.
Who's that?
David fucking Coverdale. Jesus Christ.
What does he play?
Oh my God.
Is he all covers? Does he do all covers?
Yeah, he plays covers of the Riverdale theme song.
Did he do like a whole Elvis album of covers?
He did a little. He was in a little band called Deep Purple. He was also in a little the front man.
Light Purple.
I like Deep Blue Something though.
Of a little band called Whitesnake. He also did multiple albums with Jimmy Page, which are amazing.
Yeah, Robert Plant.
He was very close. No, Robert Plant retired from being cool and just makes folky music with some lady. That's all he does.
The first mention of a dude that's considered one of the greatest of all time is right here, right now.
Yeah, but the difference is, like, David Coverdale, by the way, follow him on Twitter if you like cringy memes about like boobs. He's great for that.
See, that's why I didn't pick that guy. Screw that guy.
Here's the thing, like, what I've always heard about Robert Plant is he can't bring it live.
He doesn't feel as,
he clams up,
because that's the thing about like, a front man is you want some of the experience, if you will.
His voice isn't near his voice was like, even in his heyday, wasn't like nearly as powerful like live as it was on the album.
No, nobody in the audience was ever chanting the experience. They were chanting Jimi Hendrix. Nobody gave a fuck about those two white shitheads in the background.
I mean,
they thought that was the guys that brought the gear on stage. They didn't even know those guys were doing music.
Doug.
It's like when people chant for the referee.
I'm just glad I got to talk about David Coverdale.
Turn is it now?
It's my last pick.
Okay.
And I still have a pick, but that's fine. I'll just pick it.
Yeah, we go back the other way.
You're gonna go. We're gonna get a couple rounds. We're almost there.
Get your Hootie and your Blowfish over with.
I'm gonna take my final David, my last Dave. All right, and maybe you
David
guys didn't,
Bowie.
Maybe you guys didn't know this. What was the name of Bowie's band?
Stardust. He was Ziggy.
That sounds
No.
That's not it, is it?
That was his like alter ego, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have a band. See, that's the thing.
No, he did.
No, it doesn't matter.
He did.
Listen, you guys may not know this, but I did a little like Deep Purple research here. And I found out you guys thought Bono was just Bono, right? You guys thought he was just Bono? That motherfucker is David Bono.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going Bono. Hold on. You too.
I kind of have to Google this.
It's not true. Don't Google it.
I was going to say. I mean, you could still have him.
I picked David Bono.
There is a David Bono, and he has for over 30 years been fighting a high-level legal experience.
That's David Bono, the lawyer. I'm talking David Bono, the lead singer of U2.
Yeah, David Bono. Yeah. Got it.
Say what you want about Bono. Say, like, even though he counts uno, dos, tres, catorce, he goes all the way to 14 right away. But Bono is,
Joshua that is his middle name, Paul David.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, my God. It works. I made that shit up. I love it.
You lying to him?
No. Paul David Hewson. Known by his stage name Bono.
Bono.
Wow. Where the fuck did he get Bono from then?
He's a cringe lord, so it probably took him a while.
Why he does he good cr- shit. I just I'm not a YouTuber.
Bono is the Sean Penn of fucking just a try hard who talks a lot about politics but just lives in a giant house. And
but he puts a lot of money into a lot of like things that help.
Sunglasses, he puts a lot of money into sunglasses.
Here's the thing why I'm still mad at Bono. Like,
what about
at
that
one point song? I just had a whole shit ass U2 album that just popped up on my phone and I didn't ask for it.
Yeah,
I'm still upset that about that.
I love that.
It was
that.
A really bad album.
I love that U2 is just like, fuck it, you're all getting this one.
It's like, why did I wake up and the shit's on my phone? And dude, I have like a notification.
David Bono went directly to Apple and he said, listen, Tim Cook, or if the other guy was there, you're gonna put my album. Your jobs is to put my album on every iPhone. The moment
I need
it comes
everybody
out.
To experience this album.
Listen, everyone at Apple. I know I'm all about the people and social issues, but let me align myself with big tech and put it all on a fucking iPhone mined out of fucking caves by the poorest of slave labor in the world. Here you go. I love the people. Put this album on your iPhone. There's nothing more evil than aligning yourself with big tech and then going out and preaching anything else, really. I think it's fine if he didn't say anything or try to involve himself with social issues. If he was just like, I'm a pop star, that's fine. And also, again, he's a cornball. He's an absolute cornball. His first album is the only good album. That's it.
No, not true.
Although I do like Mysterious Ways. That's a good song. I take it back. Mysterious Ways is a good song.
Yeah.
Listen. Bono aligned with big tech and he got 300 million people to stream at least one of his fucking songs, and guess what, he got paid, and he took that money and he put it into the issues, he put it into helping people. I'm telling you, Bono is a man of the people, my friend.
He's fucking Sean Penn. He's a guy on a boat helping people, but he brings a camera crew to film him. That's that activism. That's it. That's Sean Penn activism.
You gotta let people know that you're active. No, you don't. That you're active. You know what I mean? You gotta let people know you're active. You know?
Hey, that's enough about David Bono.
I just want everybody to know that I really helped James get to the Maldives, you know?
Hey, without those guys, how would you know? How would you see what's actually going on? I wouldn't know what's going on in Ukraine if Sean Penn didn't go to Ukraine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You would not know.
I would have no clue.
Hit that button. We talked about NBA Jam. Let's take NBA Jam legend P-Funk. Taking George Clinton. Parliament, baby. That's right.
I take Bill Clinton. Saxophone lead saxophoner Bill Clinton Experience.
That's what his cabinet was known as, the Experience.
Bill Clinton plays on a couple Dave Matthews albums.
Monica Lewinsky played something of his one time.
JFK had Camelot, he had the Experience.
Oh man, look man, P-Funk, George Clinton. How can you not like him? Legend. Fucking legend, man.
Yeah.
He influenced G-Funk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I like it. I like putting on funk music. I like putting on Parliament. It's the type of shit that makes me feel good. I'll put it on around the house, and it's just that good shit. You know,
look, I appreciate you trying to make us all look racist. That's what I'm
going to. I mean, no, he takes two token picks.
Three, isn't it now?
Is it?
What do you mean?
Three. Chuck D.
Yeah.
Those weren't token picks.
Jimi Hendrix and now.
Oh, Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, I forgot. The Experience.
It's shit I actually like.
Sure, dude. Sure.
All right, fine. I'll drop Chuck D. Oh, God. I'm not dropping George Clinton or Jimi Hendrix.
Live your truth, brother. Live your truth.
George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic. So this is another.
I know.
That should have been your theme, honestly. You could have done it.
Ago, but
what do you mean? It's the Parliament.
Parliament's his backing band.
That's a band. Am I crazy?
Isn't it the Parliament?
The Revolution is a band then.
Yeah, but that's different. Like, look at the music. I don't think so. Everybody calls it. People are like, yo, you heard that new Revolution?
Nobody says, hey, you hear that fucking Experience?
Yeah, you did. There's t-shirts that say it.
Why didn't you pick the Roots?
It's Jimi Hendrix Experience. Well, I was going to.
The Roots is a good one.
Yes, for honorables, I was going to. Okay, James.
Okay. All right. All right.
And realistically, I like the Roots better than Public Enemy, but Chuck D was a better front man. That's where I was going with it.
Okay. All right. All right.
I'm just happy that you're so flustered.
I love all
you guys are making me question joy. Shit that I know is legit.
Look, you know, I said, live your truth, man. Live your truth.
If they should have said the Jimi Hendrix's band, you know what I mean? Like Dave Matthews' band. It's like, that's the band. You know what I mean?
And here's like the thing. George Clinton didn't say George Clinton or P-Funk on the album. It was the fucking Parliament.
Yeah.
All right.
Is it the Parliament Funkadelic or is it just the Parliament?
You call it whatever the fuck you want. It's Parliament.
Whatever the funk you want.
Right. Yeah, whatever the funk you want. That's right. Parliament Funkadelic was a
just
collective.
So our listeners know,
Parliament was the band.
Andy's Sean Penn of the draft pod. Like when we stop recording, you should hear the things he says. All right. Justin.
Man, I really went to shit my last two picks. I was on a roll for a while, but it didn't last.
Are we going to do like an honorables in any second?
Yeah. You'll get three honorables.
I'll read those off. But I'm going to go my favorite, which is, this was really close for me. My favorite of the grunge era singers, because there were so many good ones, not Kurt Cobain. He was mid.
Kurt Cobangs?
Kurt Co.
I like him. You would, Andy. Yeah, I know.
Puck Cobain? I can't think of anything funny, but yeah, he was a whipped dork. Anyways.
I like how you said he flipped his wig back. That's like, that's the shotgun to the face. He flipped his wig back.
Yeah, he did. yeah, I mean,
that's the sweetest way I've ever heard somebody say about committing suicide with a shotgun.
Yeah, I'm not going to make fun of anyone who kills themselves because obviously mental health, blah, blah, blah. And also, it leads me into my next pick, which is very aligned with that, and one of the hardest musical deaths on me as an adult. And if you get older, I feel like when I was a teenager, I wasn't sad or anything when I was a teenager or in college or in my 20s. But like as you get older, things start to weigh on you as a man, a self-reflection kind of thing. And I don't know why I'm saying all this, but it was a devastating loss for me and one of my favorite singers of one of my favorite bands, and that's Chris Cornell. Chris Cornell had one of the coolest, loudest voice is just so fucking amazing. Up until he was gone, still sounded great. Really fucking hard when that happened. And to know that he killed himself, then it's one of those things where it's like Robin Williams and where people just lose control of that last bit of like, you have everything you want. You could, that anybody, a normal person could want, and still you can't get past those struggles. And then you go back and listen to Soundgarden records, and it's all there. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a diary of the struggle of him trying to like basically tell you straight up, like, he's got lyrics that basically, if anyone kills me, it's going to be me. It'll be fucking me.
Dude, the dude behind me. Yeah. Same shit.
So, Chris Cornell, and I love the Audioslave records. I know that they get a lot of, like, they get trashed a lot just because it was like a radio-friendly band songs. But they, what are you going to get mad about? That was an amazing lineup. Big banger fucking anthem rock songs.
I love Audioslave.
I love Chris Cornell's solo records. I didn't even hate the Timbaland one that he got roasted for. I thought it was silly and fun. It was cool of him to do something weird. I just think vocal range and the sound that that guy got, man, especially on those first two or three Soundgarden records, was just like hitting, man. And he just looks so fucking cool. I actually saw him with his wife at the Grove in LA. And he's just, I just looked at him and was like, oh, you just look at somebody and go, that guy's fucking cool. He just looks so fucking, you just, even if you didn't know, you go, that guy's in a band. Look at him.
You know what's crazy? Yeah. On his legacy section on Wikipedia, the first two people they have commenting on him is Axl Rose and Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who you fucking have both of them on your team.
Yeah, wasn't it? It was basically like he killed himself and then dude from Linkin Park, like almost like very short.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just watched a clip of Chester Bennington talking on like a reel or something, and like
he was somebody I was potentially going to take in honorables. Yeah.
That was very it was very like raw and real and sad listening to him talk and knowing that he killed himself after that.
I think again as a youngster just listening to like the Super Unknown, just listening like as a kid like in my backyard, I have a vivid memory of listening to Soundgarden laying in one of my childhood homes, like out in the grass, summertime, listening to a Walkman and just being like, oh my God, just like these, just listening to the voice and not paying much attention to the lyrics because I was a kid, you know?
Yeah. But then later the on, voice.
Like as an adult, going back and revisiting these songs and the lyrics, and when you're having a struggling time and you're listening to some of this and you go, wow. And it really hits you on a different level. And I think Soundgarden was just like a band that was just like I really liked their music, but like as I got older they became like, oh, this is in my top 10 now, this is a top 10 band for me. They're the only, like, there's like an itch I have sound wise that only they really scratch. So yeah, Chris Cornell. And it was really close between him and Scott Weiland for my last pick, because I love STP and I love Scott Weiland. Again, gone too soon guys. So yeah.
You know,
I had three dead people on my list.
The Black Hole your... Sun, the Black Hole Sun music video. They used to scare me when I was young.
It was a creepy video.
Ass music video, though.
Yeah, and then you know the ring comes out years later, and they do the same thing, and that didn't scare me anymore. So I was like, I already saw this. Fucking that's Black Hole Sun face. You know.
I just want to add that one. I just want to add real quick that when I said I was like, well, that I get sad sometimes as an adult, that was a lie. I'm cool all the time and I never get sad. Always cool and happy.
I can confirm from my little camera that I just watch you on 24/7 feeds of.
Oh, Jesus.
Always cool and happy.
It's a wild time.
Trying on so many different types of jeans. Like,
I hope you love pale white deflated ass.
Dude, it's so weird how you just wear a belt full of apples.
I don't know.
So for my last pick, I'm going to go with Mr. Cornell's Temple of the Dog front man mate,
We'll go Eddie Vedder.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I had that one is one of my honorables too.
This is another guy I like to mimic his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so easily mocked. But like that dude, like that's one of the like I feel like that's one of those bands too, like you hear so much and then you like I guess you don't realize it until you like start putting together or you like read them all together. You're like, oh shit, they had a lot of fucking songs.
Dude, oh, Pearl Jams.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also didn't realize later in life that Pearl Jam was a cum reference. So I was like,
really?
Oh, I was that's like, literally that's
what it is. That's why I first started liking them.
I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I thought that's a cool name. I always thought it was a stupid name. And then I was like, oh, it's cum. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I love cum.
Clip that.
Okay, I got it.
I love cum.
I love coming. I love cum all the time. Clip it all you want.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I feel it with cum.
Cummy fingers.
And he's done like even some of his solo stuff is really good too. So
I don't dislike Pearl Jam. I actually like the first couple albums a lot, but they were one of those things that kind of just like they drifted and I kind of drifted away from it. So I never really went back, and maybe I would like some of their newer stuff, but they're a band I never have yet to go back and revisit. Yeah.
I also like too, like, you know, you kept saying like, you know, about certain bands, like they stuck to what they were doing through that whole new metal phase. It's like, they didn't go down that road.
It's a hard road. It's a hard road to avoid trends.
Yeah,
and not without like an album that sounds like what's going on.
Yeah, and the fact that like, what was it? Essentially, since their second album, they like don't use Ticketmaster and all that kind of shit. Like, like it's kind of a cool thing. Like they're like, no, like there's no like you can't charge double the price for our fucking ticket and then keep all that money. So
yeah. We want our fans here to enjoy the experience.
When we say a ticket's $50, we don't want to say it's 119 with fees.
That's right. Yeah. Jimmy would never.
Yeah. The Jam. Pearl and the Jam. Gotta love it.
All right. So
all right, Courtney roll,
my honorables. I'm gonna go with
how many do we get?
Three.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go with Mark Bolan from T-Rex.
Hot ass pick. Love me some T-Rex.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Phil Lynott from Thin Lizzy.
Also hot. Banger. Why aren't these in your real list, you coward?
I know, right? And
hard to pick.
And then finally, I'm gonna go with Mr. Bon Scott.
Also good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What is Bon Scott from?
AC/DC.
He's the first singer of AC/DC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's not Brian Johnson.
Yeah.
Not Bon Iver.
Bon Iver. Don't you disrespect Minnesota like that.
You know Brian Johnson lives in Sarasota, Florida.
Yeah.
That seems like where he would live.
Yeah.
does all right
those he likes cars and being short. It's perfect.
Go ahead, Justin.
Three picks. I'm gonna go King Diamond.
Ooh,
King Diamond was a tricky one for me because, you know, he can also be one of those bands with a band, but he also has a Merciful Fate, so you can't exit out on that. I'm gonna go Lemmy from Motorhead.
Yep. Also, I should have taken that.
King Diamond, Lemmy. And just because I talked about it, man, I was going to put Rob Halford, but just because I talked it up so much and I was so angry, I'm going to put David Coverdale. because like David Coverdale, I regularly listen to, fucking Whitesnake. I am a huge fucking Whitesnake fan, and that's pre-glam Whitesnake and glam Whitesnake. I love all the albums. And by the way, if you like bluesy rock stuff like Aerosmith, and if you like Led Zeppelin stuff, go listen to the David Coverdale and Jimmy Page albums because they are fucking good. Some of Jimmy Page's best guitar is on those, because basically he was like, David Coverdale for a long time was trying to be like a Robert Plant. It was a big influence on his singing. So of course he just found a guy who sounded a little bit like him and did albums with him. So if you want like a Led Zeppelin post Led Zeppelin substitute, go to those albums, man. They're really fucking good.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So like you taking Lemmy, there's one person that I hit, cause I didn't like make a big list. There's one person that hasn't been taken yet from my list. So
I was just like, also I, well, back to the experience, one person I left out was Trent Reznor, because I really didn't, because he's had such a rotating band and he's kind of like a guy who just writes all the songs, and then like he has like a, oh, the last few years he's had a couple guys pretty steady, I'd say the last 5-6 years, maybe longer, but like he's always had a rotating band. So I feel like Nine Inch Nails, while he is the front man of that band and the band is not called Trent Reznor, it basically is just Reznor, you know, like he writes all the songs in a studio and then he has guys help him come on. So I didn't pick him, but I wanted, I was close, but I was like, I was kind of fighting that weird black and white line.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to take him in my honorables until you went off on the whole thing about him now. So now I'm not going to, but
well, there's I'm just warning up front. I will be doing AdDrop. I'm just throwing it fucking out there.
Okay. All right.
Oh, we really got in your head. Go ahead, Andy.
See you later, well, Chuck D.
No, because it should be a band behind them to be the front man, blah, blah, blah. So whatever. That's what's going to happen.
Bullied.
So, I'm going to take Billy Joe Armstrong. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take
Green Day. That's Green Day for those who don't know.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'm going to take fuck it, I'll put Steven Tyler in there. The dude deserves to be on the list.
Sure.
Aerosmith, for those who don't know.
Yep. I think people know Aerosmith.
Yeah, man, married a teenager.
Can't assume they know, you know? They don't.
Yep.
Know.
And then,
I didn't know the experience.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. One more I'm going to take. That wouldn't be authentic of me, so I'm not going to do that. So let me get Jack White.
Oh yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah,
white stripes for those that don't know.
No,
the Jack White and the Stripes.
Jack White Experience. Which, by the way, that is experience with fucking Danger Mouse.
Just, I always want to list three that didn't make it, which is weird.
Why don't you let me take my honorables before you do that?
Oh, God, don't fuck yourself, Jake. There's got to be about you.
It's going to be all three of the people you were about to list.
All right, so here we go. First off, I'm going to take, saw this guy in concert. They put on a hell of a fucking show, and I love the band so much. Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins.
Ooh, Smash Pump. Love that.
So David Corgan.
Well, I'm not doing that theme anymore. That theme is gone. Next, you know, we talked about him a little bit before, but he's the only guy that I think can really pull off a red hat. I'm going Freddy Durst, Limp Bizkit.
I like that pick.
I'm a big Bizkit head.
Same.
I think that's what they're called. And then finally, I'm gonna go Liam Gallagher of Oasis.
Ah, nice pick.
Okay. Splendid.
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 It's been a minute. Splendid.
All right.
All right. Now you can list off whatever you want to list off, Justin.
I just said, it's just no one picked Robert Plant, right? No one?
Oh.
Right.
I was going to pick up, but I was like, I'm not fucking doing it just to pick up for you slap dicks.
You also shout all over him and said that he now is like lame and does music with an old lady. And like, so it made us not much younger than him.
Alison Krauss, that care came to me right now. I like some of the songs. I just think it's like boring.
Fair.
But yeah, Robert Plant, no Rob Halford from Judas Priest, which I think that was one I was struggling with a lot, and no Ozzy.
I think, well, you mentioned it. Since you mentioned it, I was just like, fuck it, he got mentioned.
But prime Ozzy is pretty good. I just think it's because he never really moved around stage much.
He was kind of very stagnant,
but he was, you know, a good presence and like a, you know, very beginning of, you know, heavy metal presence. So, and vocal range, very, very good. I don't believe that he has really sung a song in like 20 years. I'm in that conspiracy theory that he has someone sing for him off stage. But I still legend. Those are just ones I was like, I thought would get picked up. Never did.
Yeah.
Cause my dumb ass was,
or Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I was also thinking Josh, what's his name? Josh Homme.
Yeah.
Josh, I was thinking Josh Jamel.
I was thinking Mark Hoppus of Blink 182.
Yeah. No doubt.
I was thinking Jack Johnson.
Oh, Gwen Stefani.
I had Tom York.
Gwen will definitely go in our ladies draft.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. No. Yeah.
Jesus.
Look at us setting each other up and knocking each other the fuck down. Look at this.
Well, I can't stand.
Man, that was BANANAS.
All right, I will be ad dropping.
Oh, I will too. Okay. Drew, what were your honorables, by the way?
Do you want me to tell you all?
Yeah, tell us Justin and Drew's.
All right, Justin's was King Diamond, Lemmy from Motorhead,
and that was for Courtney.
David Coverdale, and okay. Then Drew's was Mark Bolan, T-Rex, yeah. Phil yeah. Lamont, Thin Lizzy, and Bon Scott, yeah. AC/DC.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You didn't want to hear mine?
Anybody else?
No, I remember.
Just me and Andy?
Just you and Andy. I'm locked in with David Bono.
let's see.
I came up with this whole David thing because I decided that Bono's first name was David. And so then I was like, now I got to pick all Daves.
You should drop David Lee Roth and just let me have it.
that would not be a sanctity of the draft, you know?
Yeah.
Andy, first. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to drop Chuck D.
Oh, wait. I was giving you guys your order.
Oh, I forgot you were doing it. I drew. Go ahead.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
What? Nah, that's not it. You're using your KA rule here?
No.
No, I was doing the balls. I was literally in the middle of it.
I forgot you did the
balls. Fine.
Drew got first pick. Andy got second. You motherfucker. It's true. I promise. Look.
All right, Drew. Go ahead.
It's in there.
All right. Like, I'm gonna.
Drew's ball is there. And Andy's,
I don't know if it makes any difference, but I'm gonna drop Morrissey, and I'm gonna take pick up Mark Bolan.
Okay. Nice.
Just for a little new school feel, I'm gonna drop Chuck D. I'm gonna pick up Jack White.
Okay.
Nice.
Drop Chuck D. Pick up Jack White.
Yeah, because Jack White's a little different feel of a frontman than everything else we drafted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to go on record that my number one is Axl Rose.
Hey, mine's Freddie Mercury, you know, so.
And then Dio.
All right, my number two is David Lee Roth.
Number two, you fucking piece of shit.
You didn't even take it in your top two. Yeah, it went
all the way back to me. You're the piece of shit.
Hey, I was just trying to play the long game, bro. I wasn't expecting you to have any sense.
Oh, my God.
You were going to pick, like... picturing how this would go is like, Drew would have some good ones, and then you guys are gonna be like, oh, the dude from Sublime, or like fucking, I don't know.
Look, the girl asked you to finger blaster, and you said, can we just hold hands? That's what happened.
I was like, literally, like, oh, this is gonna go a certain way, so I can just sit back, but it didn't, and that's fine. That's fine.
You know, you got unlucky because. Dave Lee Roth's first name is David. That's really the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that's why I got super unlucky with David Bono, you know.
I like giving Bono a first name.
Yeah, I had to fucking take the experience because David Bono was gone.
Oh shit.
It's all fine. Right. I'll just never forgive you. It's whatever.
Well, we could do a trade.
At least you have a belt of apples.
We could do a trade. I'll trade you David Lee Roth for Axl Rose.
No, that's no. Because I put in my perfect list and I didn't get it. So it's a fail no matter what. I feel like it's a fail.
I do like Chris Cornell, but there's no way I'm going to trade my high number two pick for your number five pick. You know?
I mean, technically,
plus, the he's last not Chris David Cornell.
It was essentially a third round pick.
Yeah, exactly.
You could have waited till the third round to pick him.
I know, I could have. I could have picked Depeche Mode first.
No, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Christopher Cornell's middle name is John, so that trade won't work.
Yeah, it won't work. You're right. So we're locked in.
I like the rest of my list. Just didn't get my number one. It's fine having Dio in there. It's like, you know, it's like trading, you know, a dollar for 75 cents. Not a big deal.
Nope. Love a nice 75-cent piece.
Yeah.
It is if the bag of chips is 80.
What? Okay, I can't do math.
Yeah. All right. James, read the teams.
All right, here we go. So for James's team of best music frontmen of all time.
Oh god.
Number one, Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters. Number two, Dave Lee Roth, Van Halen. Number three, Dave Gahan, Depeche Mode. Number four, Dave Matthews of the Dave Matthews Band. And number five, David motherfucking Bono of U2.
Sure.
And for Andy's team of best frontmen of all time, rock and roll, baby, Ronnie James Dio. Here we go. Number one, Freddie Mercury of Queen. Number two, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. Number three, Jack White of White Stripes. Number four, Jimi Hendrix.
Uh-oh.
Bullying.
The Experience. And number five, George Clinton of the Parliament. For Justin's team of best frontmen of all time, number one, Chino Moreno, the Deftones. Number two, Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses. Number three, Peter Steele, Typo Negative. Number four, Ronnie James Dio of Dio and many others. And number five, Chris Cornell of motherfucking Soundgarden. And others. For Drew's team.
Oh, shit.
For Drew's team. Number one, Zach De La Roca of Rage Against the Machine. Number two, Mike Patton, Faith No More. Number three, Mark Bolan, T-Rex.
Hey, James. What? I'm going to let you finish. But first, I need you to put Freddie Mercury in for Glenn Danzig.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, fuck. Man, I really thought Andy was going to get away with this. So now Andy has Glenn Danzig.
Oh, nice. That makes sense.
In the number one spot.
I can see that.
So
I
Andy
can't do anything.
You
can. Yes, I can. I can.
Yeah,
I can.
You can. You're allowed.
I can.
It's allowed with a steal.
Okay. Holy well, I'll let Andy do his thing and then I'll reread his number one pick. I'll go back to Drew's.
Well, the beautiful thing is I can fucking take anybody that I want. So
That's true.
You know what? We disrespected you so hard. I need somebody that's a number one caliber, even if I don't feel that way. So Robert fucking Plant. There you go.
Okay.
Oh.
Robert Plant, Led Zeppelin.
I'm playing the fucking game.
Basic bitch. Anyway.
My team got decimated. That was my.
Well,
man. So Andy's new number one pick, Robert Plant, Led Zeppelin. Drew's number four pick, Freddie Mercury of Queen. Queen Freddie Mercury dropped all the way down to the fourth fucking spot now, and
because he's
number five, Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam.
I would like to just reiterate that my list is not in the order of how much I like them. Just how I pick them during the thing.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Axl would be number one.
Hey, you know, this has been a really fun draft.
It was.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Justin. You really brought the heat this time, you know?
I always do.
You're the fucking man.
Fuck, man. I'm Courtney over here. I just cut myself. Love you, Courtney.
Love you, bitch.
Well, that's our show. Tune in next week for another episode of The Draft Podcast. Bye-bye.